ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्दियं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगण ललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदी भक्तिसिद्धांत सरस्वती नामिने श्रीवर्षभानविदेवी दैदाया कृपाब्दये कृष्णसंबंध विज्ञानं दायिने प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वल प्रेमाद्य श्रीरोगानुपत्तिद श्री गौरवरुणा शक्ति विग्रहाय नमोस्तुते नमस्ते गौरवाणी श्री मूर्तये दीनतारिणे रूपानुग विरुद्धाव सिद्धांतध्वान्तहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्भोदे पादाम्बुजायदे नमः नमो भक्ति विनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपानुगवराय ते गौरावीर्भवभूमेस्त्वं निर्देष्टा सज्जनप्रिय वैष्णव सार्वभौम श्री जगन्नाथाय ते नमः वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्वशे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्रियं हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्द राधा कान्द नमोऽस्तुते जयतां सुरलोपाङ्गोर्मम मन्दमदीर्घदि मत्सर्वस्वदां भोजौ राधा मदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमादौ श्रीमन्द्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ श्रीराधा शीलगोविन्ददेवौ प्रेष्ठालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्द्रासरसारम्भी वंशीवडतटस्थित कृष्णन्वेणुस्वनेर्गोपेर्गोपिनाथा श्रियेऽस्तु नः तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुल्लारविन्दायदपत्रनेत्रा येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णं प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं विश्वद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सुतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तककेशवा पराशर्यवजः सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പ്രലീയമാനം മുത ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കളിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്നുന്ദി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ അസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ ഉവാച പരസ്വഭാവകർമാണി ന പ്രശംസയൻ നഗർഹയേൽ വിശ്വമേകാത്മകം പശ്യൻ പ്രകൃത്യാ പുരുഷേണ ച പരസ്വഭാവകർമാണി യപ്രശംസതി നന്ദതി സ ആശുഭ്രശ്യതി സ്വാർത്ഥാൽ അസത്യമഭിനിവേശത തൈജസേന്ദ്രയാപന്നേ പിണ്ഡസ്ഥോ നഷ്ടചേതന മായാം പ്രാപ്നോതി മൃത്യും വ തദ്വത് നാനാർത്ഥദൃക് പുമാൻ കിം ഭദ്രം കിമഭദ്രം വ ദ്വൈതസ്യാ വസ്തുന കിയൽ വാചോദിതം തദമൃതം മനസാധ്യാതമേവ ച ഛായ പ്രത്യഹ്വയാഭാസ അസന്തോപ്യർത്ഥകാരിണ ഏവം ദേഹാദയോ ഭാവ യച്ഛന്ത്യാ മൃത്യുതോ ഭയം ആത്മൈവ തദിദം വിശ്വം സൃജ്യതേ സൃജതി പ്രഭു ത്രായതേ ത്രാതി വിശ്വാത്മാ ഹ്രിയതേ ഹരതീശ്വര തസ്മാൻ മഹ്യാത്മനോത്മന്യസ്മാദന്യോ ഭാവോ നിരൂപിത നിരൂപിതേയം ത്രിവിധ നിർമൂലാ ഭാതിരാത്മനി ഇതം ഗുണമയം വിദ്ധി ത്രിവിധം മായയാ കൃതം ഏതദ് വിദ്വാൻ മതിദിതം ജ്ഞാന വിജ്ഞാന നൈപുണം ന നിന്ദതി ന ച സ്തൗതി ലോകേ ചരതി സൂര്യവൽ പ്രത്യക്ഷേണാനുമാനേന നിഗമേനാത്മസംവിത ആദ്യന്തവന്ന സജ്ഞാത്വ നിസ്സംഗോ വിചരേതിഹ ഉദ്ധവ ഉവാച നൈവാത്മനോ ന ദേഹസ്യ സംസൃതദ്രഷ്ടദൃശ്യയോ അനാത്മസദൃശോരീഷ കസ്യസ്യാദുപലഭ്യത ആത്മ അവ്യയോ അഗുണശുദ്ധ സ്വയം ജ്യോതിരനാവൃത അഗ്നിവദ്ദാരുവത് അജിദ്ദേഹ കസ്യേഹ സംസൃതി ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച യാവദ്ദേഹേന്ദ്രിയ പ്രാണൈ ആത്മനസന്നികർഷണം സംസാരഫലവാം സ്ഥാവത പാർത്ഥോപ്യ വിവേകിന അർത്ഥേഹ്യ വിദ്യമാനേഭി സംസൃതിർന്ന നിവർത്തതേ ധ്യായതോ വിഷയാനസ്യ സ്വപ്നേ അനർത്ഥാഗമോ യത യഥ്യാഹി പ്രതിബുദ്ധസ്യ പ്രസ്വാവോ ബഹുവനർത്ഥമൃ സ ഏവ പ്രതിബുദ്ധസ്യ ന വൈ മോഹായ കൽപ്പതേ ശോകഹർഷഭയക്രോധം ലോഭമോഹസ്പൃഹാദയ അഹങ്കാരസ്യ ദൃശ്യന്തേ ജന്മമൃത്യുശ്ചനാത്മന ദേഹേന്ദ്രിയ പ്രാണമനോഭിമാനം ജീവോന്തരാത്മാഗുണകർമ്മമൂർത്തി സൂത്രം മഹാനിരുധേവ ഗീത സംസാരമാധാവതി കാലതന്ത്ര അമൂലമേതൽ ബഹുരൂപരൂപിതം മനോവജ പ്രാണശരീരകർമ്മം ജ്ഞാനാസിനോപാസനയാശിതേന ചിത്വാ മുനിർഗാം വിചരത്യതൃഷ്ണാഃ ജ്ഞാനം വിവേകോ നിഗമസ്ഥഭശ്ച പ്രത്യക്ഷം ഐതിഹ്യമധാനുമാനം ആദ്യന്തയോരസേദേവ കേവലം കാലശ്ച ഹേതുശ്ച തദേവ മധ്യേ യഥാ ഹിരണ്യം സുഹൃതം പുരസ്താൽ പശ്ചാശ്ച സർവസ്യ ഹിരണ്മയസ്യ തദേവ മധ്യേ വ്യവഹാര്യമാണം നാനാപദേശൈ അഹമസ്യ തദ്വൽ വിജ്ഞാനമേതൽ ത്രിയവസ്തമംഗം ഗുണത്രയം കാരണകാര്യകർത്തം സമന്വയനം വ്യതിരേകതശ്ച യേനൈവ ദുരിയേണ തദേവ സത്യം യസ്നയത് പുരസ്താദുതയെന്ന പശ്ചാൽ മധ്യേ ചതന്നുപദേശമാത്രം ഭൂതം പ്രസിദ്ധം ചതരേണ യദ്യൽ തദേവ തത്സ്യാദി മേ മനീഷ അവിദ്യമാനോപോഭാസതേയോ വൈകാരികോ രാജസസർഗമേഷ ബ്രഹ്മസ്വയം ജ്യോതിരഥോ വിഭാതി ബ്രഹ്മേന്ദ്രിയാർത്ഥാത്മവികാരചിത്രം ഏവം സ്ഫുടം ബ്രഹ്മവിവേകഹേതുവി പരാപവാദേന വിശാരദേന ചിത്തു ആത്മസന്ദേഹോപാരമേത സ്വാനന്ദദുഷ്ടോഖില കാമുകേഭ്യ ആത്മാവപൂപ്പാർത്ഥ്യമിന്ദ്രിയാണി ദേവാഹ്യസുർവായു ജലം ഹുദാശ മനോന്നമാത്രം ദിഷണാജസത്വം അഹംകൃതിഖം ക്ഷിതിരർത്ഥസാമ്യം സമാഹിതൈക്കം കരണേ ഗുണാത്മവി ഗുണോഭവേന്മത്സുവിരിക്തധാമ്ന വിക്ഷിപ്യമാണൈ ഉദകിം നു ദൂഷണം ഖനൈരുപേതേർവിഗതൈരവേക്കിം യഥാ നഭോവായുനലാംഭൂഗുണൈ ഗതാർഗതേർവർത്തുഗുണൈർന്ന സജ്ജതേ തദാക്ഷരം സത്വരജസ്തമോമലൈ അഹമ്മദേ സംസ്തുതി ഹേതുഭിപ്പരം തദാഭിസംഗപരിവർജനീയോ ഗുണേഷുമായാരചിതേഷു താവൽ മദ്ഭക്തിയോഗേന ദൃഢേനയാവൽ രജോ നിരസ്യേത മനഃക്കഷായ യഥാമയോ സാധു ചികിത്സിതോ നൃണാം പുനഃപുനഃ സംതുതതി പ്രരോഹൻ ഏവം മനോവക്വകഷായ കർമ്മം കുയോഗിനം വിദ്യതി സർവസംഗം കുയോഗിനോ യേ വിഹിതാന്തരായേ മനുഷ്യഭൂതേ ത്രിദിശോഭസൃഷ്ടൈ തേ പ്രാക്തന അഭ്യാസബലേന ഭൂയോ യുഞ്ചന്തി യോഗം നതു കർമ്മതന്ത്രം കരോതി കർമ്മക്രിയതേ ചന്തു കേനാപ്യസോ ചോദിതമാനിപാതാൽ നത്ര വിദ്വാൻ പ്രകൃതോ സ്ഥിതോപി നിവൃത്ത തൃഷ്ണ സുസുഖാനുഭൂത്യ തിഷ്ടന്തമാസീനമുദം പ്രചന്തം ശയാനമുക്ഷന്തമദന്തമന്നം സ്വഭാവമഞ്ഞൽ കിമഭീഹമാനം ആത്മാനം ആത്മസ്തമതിർന്ന വേദ യതിസ്മവശ്യസതീന്ദ്രിയാർത്ഥം നാനാ അനുമാനേന വിരുദ്ധമന്യൽ ന മന്യതേ വസ്തുതയാ മനീഷി സ്വാപ്നം യഥോത്ഥായ തിരോധാനം. സോ യെസ്റ്റർഡേ വി സോ ദാറ്റ് എ ജ്ഞാനി ഓർ എ റിയലൈസ്ഡ് സോൾ, Krishna is referring to calls as jnani here, but basically means a realized soul. His situation is like this, that externally there may be differences among them. One will not be like the other, but internally they are all on the same world. The internal world is the same for all of them, but externally, due to the existence of the material body, and due to the presence of, because they are within the prakriti still the body is inside the prakriti, isn't it? They have not freed from the modes of nature yet. So prakriti will act through that body in different ways. That is why we find the differences in the person's response in the world to different things. So that is why we were saying yesterday that upadhi dharmam, that means the body, mind, senses, all these kind of things, that there you will see the differences. In upadhi dharmam, you will see the differences. And therefore, because upadhi dharmam, there is difference in vyavaharam also, you will see the differences. In their vyavaharam, you will see the same differences. So, so our perception sometimes about people, that if they realize they should act like this, we put this precondition on them. That's not right. That's what Krishna is saying here. Don't put your understanding on them, because they are also under prakriti, like you are under prakriti, and prakriti is acting through them. But what is the difference then? Difference is that what's happening in the prakriti is not affecting them. With us, it affects us. But the great souls, mahatmas, that's why they give you the example that Jadabharata will not be like Janaka. Jadabharata will be Jadabharata. Janaka will be Janaka. Although in realizations they are same. They realize the truth and they are in that world of the knowledge of the soul and situated in the platform of the soul. But functionally in this world, when the prakriti is working through them, Janaka is a king and he has a kingdom to manage, whereas Jadabharata is a poor brahmana who lives in the in a completely under the mercy of the world, in other sense that he was not concerned at all about what was going on around him. So that differences you can see. So that's why they say, not to say thing that only Jadabharata can be a jnani, Janaka cannot be a jnani. That's also wrong. Janaka can be a jnani. Janaka is also a jnani. And so question is this, that everybody cannot be like Jadabharata. That's not possible. And everybody cannot be like Janaka also. So Jadabharata is a jnani, Janaka is a jnani. Sri Ramachandra is also a jnani. Vasishtha is a jnani, isn't it? Vasishtha is also a jnani. Shankaracharya is also a jnani. And similarly, Sadashiva Brahmendra also is a jnani. Ramana Maharshi is also a jnani. So, and all of them are different in their nature, in this world. They all had a different way they lived in this world. So that is what the important point that Krishna is getting through that verses. That in vyavaharam there will be differences because there is difference in the prakriti and in the differences in their svabhavam also. So that is what he is saying here, that yadisma pashyat asad indriyartham nananu manena viruddha manyal നമന്യതേ വസ്തുതയാ മനീഷി സ്വാപ്നം യഥുത്ഥായ തിരോധാനം. യദിസ്മ പശ്യത് അസദ് ഇന്ദ്രിയാർത്ഥം നാനാനുമാനേന വിരുദ്ധമന്യൽ നമന്യതേ വസ്തുതയാ മനീഷി സ്വാപ്നം യഥോത്ഥായ തിരോധാനം. A person who has woken up from the dream, that's what he's saying. Swapnam yaduthaya tirodhadhanam. When once who have woken up from a dream, he does not think about the dream as real anymore. Once he has woken up from that, isn't it? Similarly, a realized soul, when he has woken up into the platform of the soul, from this bodily platform, then what has happened to them? That he is not thinking about the activities of the body anymore real. Like a person who woken up from the dream, he does not think about the things what happened in the dream anymore as real, is it not? Similarly, when a realized soul, when he has woken up into the knowledge of the self, after that he does not think anymore about the activities of the body as real. That is the important thing. Exactly like the way when you wake up from the dream to the awakened state. That's the important principle. So, and therefore, he does not take that anymore serious. Or he does not think anymore this as real. What the body does and what the body reacts with the world in the vyavaharam. All these things are not taken anymore as real by the person who has woken up into the platform of the soul. So, just like in the cinema, when you see so many things, you don't take it as real, isn't it? In the same way. So, one who has realized it only can do that. Up to that time, we will take all this very seriously. Everything what goes on here. Is it not? So, it is unfortunately, it is like that. What can you do? You're unable to get rid of it, but you're inside that, isn't it? So, That's what he is saying here. Purvam grihidam gunakarma chitram. Look at the next words. Purvam grihidam gunakarma chitram. Ajnanam atmanya viviktamanga. Nivartade dalpunarikshayaiva. Na grihyade na bivisrajyam atma. Purvam grihidam gunakarma chitram. Ajnanam atmanya viviktamanga. Nivartade tatpunarikshayaiva. Na grihyade na bivisrajyam atma. Then, before he realized the truth, before self-realization happened to him, that means the knowledge of the soul happened to him, before that, that person was born in the same world as we are. What's our world? It's called the Swapnamandalam. Swapnamandalam means that this world is a dream world. Nothing is real here. We also know that, but still we are serious about it. And we have come and taken birth here. We don't know what is going on, isn't it? We don't know what's going on. Somehow we take it so seriously, but we just don't know what is going on here. And we will never know till we wake up, like Krishna says there. So, this person who has realize now, before that, before his realization of the self, he was also like us, born in the same dream world. Swapnamandalam, it's called. So that's what he's saying. that's what he's saying. Yeah, that. But everybody comes and takes birth in this prakriti, material nature. They come and take birth in this prakriti. That means in a particular country, in a particular family, in a particular tradition, and like this in different environments, we all come and take birth here, isn't it? So when we take birth like that, there is ahankaram inside, naturally. That's why we got birth, because there is false ego inside. So with false ego, we take birth in a particular country, particular family, particular environment, particular place, all these kind of things. And at the same time, what do we have with us? The ahankaram inside and the vasana, what we have got with us, isn't it? And accordingly, we will have a particular nature also in us, a swabhav along with that. So, but that swabhavam or prakriti, what is in us? What happens to that when self-realization happens to that person? That is the question. So, when he realized the truth, say for example, he realized the truth, that means tatvajnanam has happened to him. After that, the prakriti what he had before, what happens to that prakriti? So, we call that as ajnanam or prakriti or svabhavam. These are all different terminologies used in the Bhagavatam to indicate the same thing. The prakriti of a person or svabhavam of a person. Basically, it is ignorance. Ajnanam it is. That ajnanam, we call it as in a polished way, call it as his prakriti or svabhavam. But basically, it is ajnanam inside, ignorance inside, isn't it? So, but now what is happening is, he realizes that all that things don't exist in me. Because he has realized the truth. He can't find any of that in the self. It was all there before in him, in the ahankaram. But now that he has left ahankaram and come to the soul, in the soul he is not finding any of those things there. So, that means in Swarupam, that prakriti is not there. Svabhavam is not there. Ajnanam is not there. Nothing is there. Swarupam is totally blissful state. Isn't it? So, so this absence of the prakriti in Swarupam, so he is seeing that. That's when he realizes that it's not there in me. Now we are thinking, oh, I get angry quickly. Or I get frustrated quickly. I get annoyed very easily. All these kind of things bothers us. Is it not? Thinking that it is in me. That's the biggest ignorance. Is it not? Thinking that I'm depressed. Or I'm happy. Or somebody has done this to me. All kinds of things. Krodham, lobham. All that Krishna said there. Shoga, harsha, bhaya, krodha, lobham. All these things. I feel that they are in me now. But when he has woken up to the identity of the soul, of his real identity, he sees there that all these things are not in me. That is the important realization. So, then Krishna is saying, after seeing that, he has come out of this influence of all these things now, because he sees that they are not in me. It is happening through the body, the mind, the senses, the ahankaram and everything. And for the outside world, if they still see those things in him to some degree, Krishna is saying here, na grihyade naapi visrjya alma. See that? Purvam grihidam gunakarma chitram almanya vivitamanga nivartade dal punarikshayaiva na grihyade naapi visrjya alma. Purvam grihidam gunakarma chitram. Due to the previous life and the modes of nature and the activities he has done, there is a different chitram there, different picture. Ajnanam alpanya vivitamangam. And that was full of ajnanam, ignorance and everything and identification with that. But nivartade idam punarikshayaiva. But now he has come out of it and he is looking at it again now. Nivartade tat punarikshayaiva. Again he is looking at it now. And what does he say? Na grihyade naapi visrajyam alma. It has nothing to do with me. He realizes at that time. That is the way self-realization works. Na grihyade naapi visrajyam alma. He realizes that alma has no connection with any of these things. Jnani or Jnani means one who has realized the truth. When he has realized the truth. he, at that time, he doesn't have to give up anything. And he doesn't have to accept anything. That means all these, shogam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, all these things, he doesn't have to give up anything. He's not doing anything anymore. What happens to him is that he realizes that he has no connection with anything. Sometimes we run courses, isn't it? How to become humble. It won't work. It simply won't work. This is the only way it will work. But these people who are doing all these things, they are just not able to come to terms with it. So they think that to train others how to become humble, and then they write manuals also for that. Answer is self-realization. That's what Krishna is saying. You realize who you are, problem is gone. Then you don't have to individually pick everything and get rid of it. You don't have to, because you know that it's not in you. It was somewhere else, on the wrong place. You are identifying due to identification. That is the problem. Identification with the wrong identification with the ahankaram, rather than the identification with the real self. Real self. So, so after that, what happens to him? Then he can function in this world because he has no connection with that old identity, ahankaram. And he has no connection at all with the body or with the prakriti. Practically, he is disconnected with the prakriti. And therefore, na grihyate napi visarjyam atma, that he is able to live here without any, undisturbed by anything what goes on here. Sometimes it may appear that there is some trace of that in him still, but in his surubam he knows that these things have no presence, these things have no influence there, and that means the absence of all these different emotions, excitement, everything, he starts experiencing it himself. And then he doesn't need a proof anymore about it, isn't it? So, or because Swarupa Sakshalkaram, that is what it's called. Swarupa Sakshalkaram means you are getting back your Swarupam, what you have lost. You lost something, you got it back. It, you have lost in the sense that you haven't lost it, it was still there. Only thing is, falsely you were going along with the false identity, ahankaram. That's gone back to the your pure identity. You will see that next verse, that's what is spoken. Yadā hi bhāno rudayo nrachakṣuṣam tamo nihanyānadu sadvidatthe evam samikṣā nipunā satīme hanyātam isram purushasya buddhehe. Yadā hi bhāno rudayo nrachakṣuṣam tamo nihanyānadu sadvidatthe evam samiksha nipuna sadhime hanyatamisram purushasya buddhehe. Krishna is giving by example, explaining to us how that, in practical life, how that happens. When sun rises in the morning, the darkness goes. Darkness goes away. At the same time, at the same time, when sun rises, we see everything, isn't it? The trees, the plants, the buildings, and also the ocean, the mountains. And the sun did not create any of that. Only thing what happened was when the sun has risen, immediately we realize that they all exist. Is it not? Just because the sun has risen, we realize that all these things exist. When the sun is not there, we are not aware of their existence. But when the sun has risen, immediately we come to know the existence of all these different things here. Sun didn't create any of them. Sun just came and all these things manifested in front of us. Isn't it? We realize that they all exist. So when the sunlight came, we saw that. Isn't it? That's all. And the sunlight actually illuminated everything, and we became aware of the existence of all these things. All these things. Similarly, when tatvajnanam comes, when the knowledge of the self happens in a person, that what it does is that tatvajnanam removes that ignorance what I had. It all goes away. That's all it is. That's the example. The comparison of the sun and the objects what we see. We didn't know about the objects in the dark. But when the sun has risen, we became aware of everything what is existing. Similarly, Krishna is saying, when self-realization happens in a person, what will happen to him is that it takes away that ignorance that was inside. And that is the ignorance. This is the ignorance we are talking about. Which one? This identification with the body, the false ego inside that, and experiencing the miseries of what you call samsara, material existence. That's all ajnanam. Ajnanam includes all this. Identification with the body, the material existence, samsaram, and all the miseries what we feel in this world, and the happiness in this world. We realize that all that is false. That's what self-realization does. So self-realization is compared to the sun. When sun comes, when all the ignorance goes and see everything clearly, in the same way, self-realization happens, all this ajnanam in one lot thrown out from inside. So when that happens, nothing is changing inside. Nothing has changed. Body still remains, mind is there, ignorance is there, ajnanam is there. Only thing is, it is gone from you. Identification is gone. Body is all aparaprakriti, isn't it? Mind, body, intelligence, senses, they will all still be there. But your identification with them has gone. That is how it works. Exactly like the way sun comes, all these things are still there before also, before the sun came. But when the sun came, we became aware of its existence properly. So in the same way, when self-realization happens, we realize who we are, then all the rest of it goes from us. Rest of it goes from us. That is the interesting part of self-realization. When you hear all these things, you can see one should look for this. Is it not? This is the only perfection in life. Everything else is ajnanam. In its most subtle form, spiritual life, Krishna is presented in this chapter. What the Upanishads are talking about? Why do you think the rishis went to the forest? Because they were able to see in its innermost depth, the reality. They didn't look for it outside. They saw inside that reality and they perceived and realized it. And they gave it to the world. This is the highest wealth you can have in this world. Nothing else. You can have billions and billions of pounds, but it goes with your body. Is it not? But this one thing is one thing that you can hold on to forever, which you will never lose once you have got it. That is what rishis are saying to us. That's why Krishna is stressing this. Remember how Krishna has spoken in previous verses also. Nadeha madhyam sulabham sudurlabham. I have given this human body for this purpose. To get to this. Plavam sukalpam gurugarna dharam mayanugulenam tapasvaderidam puman pavabdim na thare sa almaha. One who does not endeavor for this, he has practically wasted his life. That is how Krishna puts it. Puman bhavabdhim na thare sa almaha. Almaha means one who commits suicide. He said he is actually committing suicide if he does not go for this. So, and so when tatvajnanam comes, when tatvajnanam comes, what else is happening there to him? So that is what Krishna is saying there. That remember, we have two things, vikshepam and avaranam, isn't it? Covering potency and the deluding potency. So that covering is avaranam. Avaranam is the covering. It is that avaranam that has been taken out in self-realization. That avaranam, coverage, covering has been taken out. It does not change anything in this world. Everything remains as it is the world. Nothing changes in the world. Inside us, that covering has been taken out. And and when that happens, when that self-realization happens, Krishna is saying here, that is the time when we realize that actually there is no bondage and actually there is no liberation either. There is no bondage or liberation. Instead, my real identity, I am always in the liberated state. Remember, Krishna mentioned this before. Bandho mukta idivyakhya gunadome na vastuda. Gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. There is no bondage, there is no liberation. When you come to this state, that's when you realize that the ajnanam is gone. It was ajnanam that was telling me that I am in bondage. It was ajnanam that was telling me that I am looking for liberation. But neither of them are real. That is what Krishna is saying here. Yeah. So you can see from these words, Krishna's words, that nobody is going to come and hand over to you. Here it is liberation for you. Or you go from place A to place B, you will get liberated. It's not spoken like that. Isn't it? What it is that you realize right now here, in this body itself, I am always in the liberated state. That ajnanam has left me and there is nobody going to give me liberation. Sometimes, as we say, that somebody is going to take me back home, back to Godhead and all that. That's all not strictly in line with what Krishna has spoken here. This ajnanam has gone from me, then you are in the liberated state. And I was not in bondage before, and nobody is going to take away the bondage either, because what you realize now that I had no connection with them from the very first instance. If I am feeling connected somewhere, either with the family, society, friends, this way or that way, that is called bandham, isn't it? Bondage. But what happens now, I realize that there is no connection. That ajnanam has gone from me. This feeling connected is ajnanam. That doesn't require much intelligence to understand this, isn't it? In this world, when we came, we were not connected with the same people now whom we are connected with. That's the funniest thing. Some people came in our life, they left. Some others came then later, and we got connected with them. They will also go one day. When you are connected with them, you think it very seriously. Oh, you're so connected like them. Is it not? But that connection is such a temporary thing, but it doesn't go. You still take it very seriously. Why? Because ajnanam is inside. Ajnanam won't allow you to go away from that. But when this realization happens, all what it does is, nothing happens to anybody. You lose that connection, what you felt inside, which was ajnanam. So, in realization, these finer things are spoken, in Krishna saying here. So, nothing changes in life, in everybody. What happens is, the ajnanam goes away from inside, then you are seeing in a completely different way everything. The world, the people around you, and your own body, your own mind, everything is completely in a different way, that realization. You can see that next verse. Esha Swayam Jyoti, 35. Esha Swayam Jyoti Rajo Prameyo Mahanubhuti Sakalanubhuti Eko Dvidiyo Vajasam Virami Yeneshida Vagasavas Charandi Esha Swayam Jyoti Rajo Prameyo Mahanubhuti Sakalanubhuti Ego Didiyo Vajasam Virami Yeneshida Vagasavas Charandi. Krishna is saying, who is this Atma we are talking about? We say, who is it, this Atma? That is what he is saying here. Esha Swayam Jyoti Rajo Aprameyo Mahanubhuti Sagalanubhuti. He is the Atma. What does that mean? That he has become that Atma. How does he realize that? Till then, when he realizes it, what happens is, you remember this awareness inside, what we are always talking about, awareness, bodham, avabodham. He starts seeing there that bodham is that Atma. That is why in Vedantam they are very precise about this, that pure consciousness, awareness, aham, the prajnanam brahmam, that prajna inside, awareness, that is the only permanent thing in this whole structure. Is it not? Body goes away one day. And mind also will go. senses also will go, intelligence also will go, everything will go. But this pure awareness of our existence never leaves us, is it not? It doesn't require light, doesn't require any external source to tell that we exist. This awareness is the most important part of our existence, awareness of our existence. I am, I am, I am. That awareness existing. And he realizes at that time that this Atma and the awareness is one and the same. It's not different. Then, and that awareness is what Krishna is saying here, Swayam Jyoti. You know what I mean? What means Swayam Jyoti means that it doesn't require, you don't have to bring another light to show where it is. You are aware of its existence yourself. Swayam Jyoti, self-illumination in other words. So, Swayam Jyotihi. And he also realizes that awareness has no birth and death. It doesn't have any birth or death. Awareness doesn't have any birth or death. So, and Ahankar, he has mentioned that because Krishna has already told that to us, did he not? What did he say before? He said, in the 15th verse, you see, Janma Mrityu, birth and death is for Ahankaram, not for this Avabodham. Birth and death is for Ahankaram, not for the Avabodham, for the consciousness. That is when you realize that. That's what he's saying. That's what Krishna is saying here. That Esha Swayam Jyoti Rajo Aprameyo Mahanubhuti Sagalanubhuti Ego Adhuniyo Vajasam Virami Yeni Ishida Vagasavas Charandi. Krishna is saying here that it has no birth or death. Because Krishna has already told Ahankarascha Drishyande Janma Mrityuschana Atmana in the 15th verse. So, Na Atmanaha does not happen to Atma. Ahankarascha Drishyande Janma Mrityuscha Na Atmana. Na Atmana. Not in the Atma. Krishna has told that. And the same realization comes now when he comes and realizes that this awareness is me. Awareness I am. At that time he also realizes that I have no birth or death. When we have Ahankaram, we feel the birth and death. Isn't it? You see, when somebody asked Krishna that Siddha who asked Krishna that what does birth means, what death means, isn't it? What did Krishna say to him? Krishna says to him that this birth death is not a big thing. From Krishna's position, that's how Krishna sees that. From Krishna's position. Because in the realized state, he is seeing all of us and our mindset and our thoughts, nothing but a joke for him. Because we are causing problems to ourselves. So that's why he said, Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti. What's a big deal, he said. Mrityu, death is nothing but Atyanda Vismriti. You're going to forget everything what has happened. That's all death is. That fineness is very difficult to get it in life. The fineness with which Krishna has spoken that. Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti, he says. That's how Krishna puts about death. Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti. All you're going to forget everything what has happened here and you're going on to the next thing. Whereas we will write history after history after history for everything what happened for thousands of years and we'll say we have to learn from the history. Krishna says you are fools, you're writing your history and learning from them instead of trying to understand the reality. The truth is different from the history, isn't it? How much history books are in the world? Imagine the amount of books that's been printed and written and taught in the schools and colleges and getting degrees and doctorates in that for their writing. Ignorance, complete ignorance. Krishna is saying that. That's what he's saying there. That so, Ahankaram has to go through this. Which one? Birth, death, rebirth, all these things. All this is for Ahankaram. And whereas this thing, awareness, is permanently free. Eternally liberated. It has nothing to do with rebirth, nothing to do with the death either. And it cannot be even understood by the mind. That's the problem. Suppose with through your mind, if you are trying to understand this, what will you do? How will you understand it with the mind? Not possible, isn't it? So, pramanam, prameyam. These are the things normally used in the vyavaharam to understand things. Pramanam, prameyam. None of them will work in the surupam. In the self, you can't apply any pramanam, you can't apply any prameyam. What is in the world? So, surupam, there is no value for pramanam or prameyam. That is why Krishna used that word, mahanubhuti. See that word? Mahanubhuti. Why this mahanubhuti? Mahanubhuti means you can't impose any of your so-called knowledge or your standards or norms onto this awareness. Mahanubhuti. He is above all that. Sagalanubhuti. He says, mahanubhuti, sagalanubhuti. And because this is one thing, this bodham, awareness inside. He is not dependent on anybody. That is his beauty. The awareness inside is not dependent on anybody else, anyone else. Whereas your body is dependent, mind is dependent on him, on the Atma. Intelligence is dependent on the Atma. Senses are dependent on the Atma. So, everything else is dependent on the Atma, but he is not dependent on anybody. He is totally independent. That is why in the Bhagavatam, when it started, what did they say? Sarad. Fully independent. That is the independence we are talking about. Independence. The total independence from everything. Doesn't need anyone's help. On its own it can stand. And so that is why that word, mahanubhuti. But all other anubhuti is coming from him. Sakala anubhuti. Anubhuti is coming from him. So, whose anubhuti? You know this word anubhuti. Anubhuti means that what you are experiencing inside. Anubhavam, in experience, that is anubhuti. Anubhavam, when it is spoken in spiritual experiences, it's called anubhuti. So, that word anubhuti is like this, that once you have anubhuti, then shastram you don't require, because you know that what it is it not? So, anubhuti, sarvanubhuti, whose anubhuti it is? Is it the anubhuti of only the jnani? No, he says sarvanubhuti. Sarvanubhuti means, whose experience, sarvanubhuhu. This anubhuti is not only in the jnani, it is in everybody. Only thing, they are not aware of it. That's the problem. The presence of the soul is in everybody, right? And the experience of the soul, because of the ajnanam, we are not having it, right? But what Krishna is saying here, this mahanubhuti is sagalanubhuti. It is not anybody's proprietary thing. Nobody, only jnani has got it. No, Krishna says no, you also got it. Only thing, you don't know about it. That's the problem. That's why he used those two words. Esha swayam jyoti rajo aprameyo mahanubhuti sagalanubhuti. This mahanubhuti is sagalanubhuti. It's everybody has got it. But the difference is, jnani has recognized it. We have not recognized it. That is the difference. Jnani has recognized it. We have not recognized it. So, there is nobody in this world who is not experiencing Atma. Is it not? Very clear. Without the presence of Atma, where are we? What is left in this package? Even in a sensible way, if you analyze it, while taking food, it gets digested. Breathing goes on even without your knowledge. You don't have to keep any kind of monitoring the breathing. It happens in a natural way. Similarly, when the sleep comes, you go to sleep without any problem. Is it not? Yeah. Nobody has to make a decision, I have to go to sleep now, I'm going to plan to sleep. Sleep will come. And similarly, when hunger comes, all these different functions within the body is happening without any prearrangement or monitoring anything. It happens. So, all these things are happening because of the presence of that awareness inside, Atma inside. And that presence, only thing is we are not aware of that. Jnani knows why it is happening because he has realized, come to his Swarupam. He has realized that, isn't it? So therefore, what is the difference between Jnani and Ajnani? Jnani knows how things are happening. He knows that because he has come to identify with the real self, who he is, the awareness inside. And therefore he knows that it is due to the presence of that awareness that everything else is happening. He has come to know that. Whereas Ajnani still does not know that. Ajnani is thinking it's due to something else, magic going on in this body. That's the difference between Jnani and Ajnani. So you can see with self-realization how the ignorance in us is sliced off stage by stage. First of all, what happens to him? That, as he mentioned in the last verse, he says that nivartate tat punarikshayaiva na grihyate navi visrajyam atma in the 33 verse. When he wakes up to the self, what happens to him? Tat punarikshayaiva, when he looks at it, what does he see? He says, all these things, he's not in me. That's the first realization. Nivartate tat punarikshayaiva na grihyate navi visrajyam atma. That I'm in the Atma, I have nothing to do with that ahankaram in me, or the different experiences, emotions, what I was experiencing before. Like Krishna mentioned that in the 15th verse, isn't it? That shogam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, spriha, all these things do not exist in me. That's enough. You don't have to individually pluck it out, each one of them. As long as you know that it's not in me, that's enough, isn't it? The shokam, harsham, bhayam, krotham, lobham, moham and all that. As long as it is not in me, it should not bother me, should I? It shouldn't disturb me. As long as I know that it's not in me. And that is the first awareness. That's what Krishna is saying there. Nivartati tat punarikshayaiva. I'm not in that. Any of them has nothing to do with me. That's the first thing. Then what happens? Then he realizes that visraja Atma, in Atma, Atma means that's what he is, he realizes that. Then he realizes that Atma is nothing but this awareness in me, that consciousness. I am pure, I am, all the time, what we call it, Astitvam, my existence. That is the reality in the whole thing, my existence, that I exist, isn't it? That doesn't require any certification or any authorization from anywhere else. That's always with, and that is what I am. That realization comes next. That Atma is nothing but that existence. That is the second thing what Krishna has spoken here. After that, Krishna is saying here, when he is realized, and that existence or awareness or consciousness, what he identifies with, he's saying there, That will evam swayam jyoti rajo aprameyo mahanubhuti sagalanubhuti. He realizes that awareness is totally independent. It doesn't require any kind of help from anybody. It is swarad, that fully independent nature of it. It does not. And what else? Sagalanubhuti. And that is present in everybody, Krishna is saying there. It's not only in one person, in everyone it is present there. Only thing is, the difference is, Jnani knows that, Ajnani doesn't know that. That's the only difference, saying that. And so, sakalani buddhihi, and ekaha, and that, what else it is? It is ekaha. See, Atma is one. There is not so many Atma. We are thinking it is just like something packaged in a box, comes from the conveyor belt, isn't it? We have so got used to it, packaging things. So we think Atma also, you can package it like that into some, we are all the packages of the Atma. It is not. Krishna is saying, ekaha. There's only one Atma. Only thing, we don't know that. That is the problem. And what else he says? Advitiyaha. There is no second thing.
There is no second thing existing. There are no two things. Dvitiyaha. And only thing is through mananam, through nididhyasanam, and through studying Upanishad Shastram. And of course, there is the two things. Karmam one has to purify first. Karmam purified means chitta shuddhi. That's what will happen. Through karmam, we require get chitta shuddhi. Through upasana, we get Krishna's mercy. Everything is required in this process. Through karmam, we get the chitta shuddhi. Through upasana, we get Krishna's mercy. Upasana means bhakti. Bhakti. So, you can't avoid anything. Everything is necessary for this. So, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, and through that, proper reflection on all these things, and in that way, get rid of that ajnanam from inside, and then you can, and this will happen when it is heard from a proper source. Guru Upadishtam. Guru Upadishtam means when heard from a properly realized soul. From properly realized soul. So when you hear this from a realized soul, what happens? It goes inside and it will go and disappear inside. What happened? What remains then? Only the truth remains there. Truth remains there. That is the essence of all the Mahavakyam. You see that in the Upanishads, there is the Mahavakyams, isn't it? Aham Brahmasmi, Prajnanam Brahma, I am Atman Brahma, Tattvamasi. These are the famous statements in the Upanishads. Only what remains now is, you heard it verbally from the spiritual master, right? Now that verbal meaning has gone and it has turned into experience. It has turned into no more verbal meaning. For example, these four Mahavakyam, Prajnanam Brahma, I am Atma Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, they are the verbal expressions of that experience inside. Now what happened after this is, we are talking about a student or a disciple who has done everything, gone through the proper way. And after, with the spiritual master, when he finally injects this knowledge into him through the Mahavakyam, through these four statements, what will happen to him is this Mahavakyam goes inside and disappears. But now what remains there is only experience of that. Verbal meaning has gone inside and disappeared. Verbal meaning. words disappear having, because their function is over. The function of the words is over. Words has no more meaning any after that. Finished. So, once the function is over, all the words have become dissolved in that, in the experience. You can see in spiritual life, that is why we say that lot of talking is not going to help, really. It's not going to help. You can explain things, but at the end, it is us who have to turn that into experience level. Is it not? So, Shastram is only can give you guidance. Whereas if we make courses and courses and courses on this, it will not, at the end, give you any benefit from that. You will spend a lot of time doing that. So, that's important thing. It has gone inside and it has disappeared. All these words, what has been spoken. The words have gone, but the essence of those words is working. That is how the Vedic injunctions are. The Upanishad's words, statements are like that. In a very few words, they have put the message through. And those words, what has gone inside and disappeared, but the substance remains inside. That means in experience level, you still have it. You haven't lost it. You haven't lost it. So that is why you will notice you have to use the words to express. But at the end, you have to come out of the words also. Words alone is not the end. Words are only a medium to talk about that anubhuti inside. Or the experience of the self. Words are only used because there is no other media to express that. But afterwards, when it came to realization, the words also withdraw. What remains is only experience. So it is also said in the Prahlada Stuti, this thing, same thing is spoken. The rishis thought about this to so depth, so much depth they thought about it. And finally they said, everything is soul, everything is soul. Stating that viramandi shabdad, they become free from the effect of the sound also. They want to free themselves. So they come out of the sound itself. That means even from the Vedam, they pull out. They come out of the Vedam as well. And then after that, even reflection stops at that point. No more reflection even. Vicharam. That is all in the beginning. At that point, even words stops. No more words will come out after that. that is what... that is what Krishna is saying there. You see? Eko advitiyo vachasam virame. Vachasam virame means freed from the words even. Krishna says, vachasam virame. You won't be talking anymore about it. There's nothing to talk because you're already experiencing it. Vachasam virame. Then, yen eshida vagasavas charandi. Yen eshida vagasavas charandi. Which means that that experience of the self at that time does not require words anymore. You know what I mean? That at that time, because you are experiencing it, you don't need words then. That's what Krishna is saying. You see that? Yen eshida vagasavas charandi. Means words are not required anymore. No more explanation is required anymore. So, because he knows very well, directly when you are experiencing the truth in that way, what is the point in talking about it? When you are experiencing something, they give this example that when you are, I can talk to you about sugar a lot. What sugar looks like, what it tastes like and all. Suppose they give you a good full teaspoon of sugar and put it into your mouth, then I don't need to explain about sugar, do I? It's the same thing. That's what Krishna is saying. Eko advidiyo vachasam virame yen eshida vagasavas charandi. Yen eshida vagasavas charandi. Then Krishna is saying here that the he knows very well that because the presence of that thing, what is that thing? Very difficult to explain that. As Krishna started before, he said it is that awareness inside, which is nothing but Atma. But Atma has no, and there's only one Atma, Egam, Advitiyam, and Vachasam Virame, and words also withdraw at that point. Words cannot explain that, what it is. Vachasam Virame, Yen Eshida Vagasavas Charandi, the Yasya, Yasya Sannidhi Matrena Dehendriya Manodhiya. Vishayeshu Sogiyeshu Vartande Prerita Iva. So, you will see this statement. Ye Yasya Sannidhi Matrena. Because just by his presence alone, simply by presence of this Atma, Dehe Indriya Mano Dhyaha. Body, mind, senses, everything. Vishayeshu Sogiyeshu Vartande Prerita Iva. They are able to do their functions in a Vishayeshu. Vishayeshu Sogiyeshu. On its own, it appears to us that mind is working on its own. Senses are working on its own. But actually, no. He is present behind it. Oh, Atma. That is the point. Yes, yes. Infinity matrena dehendriya manodhiyaha. Vishayeshu Sogiyeshu. Vartande prerida iva. They are working only because they are being supported by him. His presence is sufficient. Just like when the king is present, that's enough, isn't it? Everybody knows king is there. Everything will happen automatically. There is no need for king to order anything and everything. Everything that has to be done will happen because he is present there. So Atma's position is very much like that. And and only simply by his presence, everything works. And what is that? That is what... Sakalanubhuti. Sakalanubhuti. Everything can happened due to that? This tattvam, Uddhava, Krishna says there, that try to come to that state. Try to become aware of that Swayam Jyoti. Esha Swayam Jyoti Rajo Prameyo Mahanubhuti Sagala Anubhuti Eko Adhidiyo Vajasam Virami Yen Eshida Vagasavas Charanti. Then, after that, Edhavanal Masamoham. More or less, Krishna has concluded all what he has to say about the soul. He has spoken quite a bit. And now he is saying that Edavan Alma Sammoho Yadvigal Pastu Kevale Alman Mrdesam Alpanam Avalambo Nayasihi. Verse 36. Uddhava, Krishna says, Uddhava, in Alma, suppose you are in the state of Alma. Earlier he said, Alpmanam Alpmastamadirna Veda. He said that, isn't it? Yeah, in 31. So, once you are in that state, he says, and now you are seeing that there are so many other things in you, is it not? You got your body, you got your mind in you, you are thinking. Krishna says, none of them are real. It is at this point only you can tell somebody that the body is not real. After understanding Atma properly, then you can tell somebody body is not real. Otherwise, if you get somebody from the street and tell him body is not real, he will give you a good one back. Is he not? But at this stage you can say that. After knowing that Atma is the real thing, body is not real. That is what Krishna is pointing. That's why Krishna said to Uddhava, body is not real, world is not real. Why is he saying that? Because Atma is the only real thing. So, at this verse, Edavan Atma Samoham Yad Vigalpastu Kevale Atma Nrudesvam Atmanam Avalambo Nayasyahi. Atma alone is the truth. Nothing else is the truth. So, to come to this conclusion of 36, you got to go through all the other verses from 1 to this, what we have covered so far. And keep on digesting this, chewing it. It will become a reality one day. If you keep on chewing this, these verses, 36 verses, then you will come to this situation that Atma alone is the reality, nothing else is real here. And that's not a lie. That is the reality. That is the truth. But without all the analysis of all these things, if you say to somebody that body is not real, Atma is real, you would say you are talking nonsense. You see, you don't understand what you are saying. Yeah? So you can see, practically the whole world is in this illusion. Is it not? The whole world is in going through this illusion. And this knowledge is proper spiritual life. This knowledge is spiritual life. Not all the other things, what we consider as religion or spiritual, all the other rituals and all. But instead of this proper understanding that what Krishna is giving us such a straightforward way, what he has spoken in this chapter, isn't it? So, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, whatever you think that it's existing now, it's all existing in the Atma again. Because Atma is there, you're feeling that they're all existing. And that all called Vigalpam. That's all Vigalpam. And all that Vigalpam is Ajnanam. That's what Krishna is saying there. All the other things what you feel are existing now in the Atma, which is existing in the Atma, is all a Vigalpam. Vigalpam means it's not real, it has come from outside and it has to go. It must go. It cannot stay. Therefore it's called Vigalpam. And that Vigalpam is Ajnanam. Vigalpam is Ajnanam. And Ajnanam or Moham, Krishna calls it as. Edavan Atma Sammoham Yad Vigalpastu Kevale. It is nothing but Vigalpam that has created that Moham inside us. And there is no other thing in this whole thing, Krishna is saying there, except Atma. Atma alone is the reality. Atmanrude Swam Atmanam Avalambo Nayasyahi. You can't have a more categorical statement than this from Krishna. He says here that, says to Uddhava, all they are there because Atma is there. Because Alpa is there, we are talking about all these kind of things, other things. And you are busy with talking about all these things, but then he says to Uddhava, except Alpa, is there anything else existing? He says, is there anything else existing here except Alpa? So, Alpa, how can they stay in Alpa? Krishna is saying, how can they stay in Alpa? Because Alpa, in Alpa, only Alpa can stay. Nothing else can stay in Alpa. They are like in the screen. In the screen, cinema comes and goes. But screen remains. Alpa is exactly in the same way. Nothing else can stay in Alpa. That is why they are all called Vigalpam. Comes, goes. Comes, goes. So that is the final word from Krishna. Edavan Alpa Sammoho Yad Vigalpastu Kevale Atmanrde Somalpanam Avalambo Nayasyahi. Avalambo Nayasyahi. That Atmanrde Somalpanam. Alpa, because of Alpa, in Alpa all these things exist. Which one? What we feel today exist. They exist in the Alpa. Because Alpa is there, you feel some reality to all that. Because who gives the reality to everything? Alpa. Because, like, you see that words? Where, through the eyes you are seeing. Who gives the reality to the eye? The mind behind it. Isn't it? Similarly, if you go back in that way, you will see the reality to every object is given by the eye. Because the eye is present, you see the object. Right? And eye is given the reality by the mind. Mind is given reality by the Alpa. Alpa's presence inside. The real eye is Alpa, not the whole, this whole, not the mind, not the object, not of them. That's what he's saying here. Then, and in that Alpa, nothing else can stay except Alpa. Eyes, mind, objects, they all come and go. They have no place in the Alpa. Alpa is totally independent. But only when Alpa is there, all the other things can function. Or you will feel their presence in other things. Saying this, Krishna says, Yannama kriti birgrahyam panjavarnam abhadidam vyarthena pyarthavadoyam dvayam panditamaninam. Yannama kriti birgrahyam panjavarnam abhadidam vyarthena pyarthavadoyam dvayam panditamaninam. Dvayam panditamaninam. So, what does this mean? It means that Panchabhudam, that is this Panchavarnam Abhadidam. Panchabhudam means the five material elements, is it not? Everything made of these five material elements, you can only perceive them through name and form. Namarupam. Namarupam is necessary for perceiving the Panchavarnam or Panchabhudam. Panchavarnam. And which is experience through Panchendriyam, through the five senses. Everything is Panchabhudam here, isn't it? And everything is experienced through Pancha Indriyam, through the five senses. And when all the Namarupam, names and forms, is perceived, which is made of Panchabhudam, which is perceived through the Panchendriyam, through the five senses, when all these things are happening, not affected by any of these things, Alpa remains. Is it not? When we are using our five senses, that means through the Panchendriyam, through the five senses, we are experiencing the five material elements. Generally, this creation is called Panchabhudam. Panchabhudam it is. Earth, water, air, ether, fire. It's various mixes and combinations, whatever way you call it, Panchikaranam and all that. That's something. So, through Panchikaranam, Panchabhudam is perceived through the Panchendriyam. And when it is perceived, it becomes Namarupam. Name and form has come from that. Is it not? When you are perceiving like that, Namarupam comes. But when all this is happening, Atma is untouched. He is still independent. These are our processes that's going on in this world, in every one of us. But untouched by that is the Atma insight. And those who are analyzing in that way, through the Namarupam, it creates what is called Dvaita Kalpana. Dvaitam comes from that. That's what he's saying there. That yan namakriti paragrahyam panchavarnamabhadidam verthe ap arthavadoyam dvayam panditamaninam. People who think learned, highly panditas, panditamaninam, dvayam panditamaninam, they will bring duality into it, and through namarupam, means duality comes from that, and that is all arthavadam, Krishna is saying. Arthavadam. He says, vyarthena arthavadoyam. Arthavadam it is. Arthavadam means that, for example, in you will see arthavadam. Arthavadam means that you are going towards the truth, but in order to get to the truth, you can sometimes say certain things. You are allowed in the Shastram to encourage you. Just like in the Bhagavadam, there is there are many instances where Arthavadam comes. Arthavadam, for example, Ajamila story, if you take, that Ajamila chanted holy name once. And we say, like that, he chanted only once, isn't it? And he went back to the spiritual world. How many times have we chanted? So that is Arthavadam. That is called Arthavadam. But to encourage us, the statement is correct in the sense that have we had the same renunciation and knowledge like the way it happened to Ajamila? Perhaps we may also go back home, back to Godhead. But in normal terms, if we say that, it is an Arthavadam. Arthavadam means to encourage others to chant the holy name. You can use that as a tool to encourage others to engage in spiritual life. So therefore it becomes Arthavadam. Like that you will find in different places, Arthavadam is a tool used in the Shastram to encourage people in the spiritual life, to take to the spiritual path, right? So Krishna is saying here, this Namarupam, which is perceived through the five senses, Panchendriyam, which is made of all the five material elements, and for which you have given name and form, and then trying to analyze all these things by these learned scholars, is nothing but Arthavadam. That's what the point is making there. That yam nama kritibir grahyam panchavarnam bhadidam vyarthena. That's all a waste of time. Arthavadoyam. Why? Dvayam panditamaninam. It only creates duality in the people's mind. Krishna is not denying Dvaitam. What Krishna is saying there, that will only take you up to a certain level, Dvaitam. After that, you have to come out of Dvaitam. Dvaitam is not the end of realization. It can't be. Because you see in Kavi Maharshi said, what did he say? Bhayam dvitiyal abhinivesatasyal ishadabedasyavibhayayo smriti. Dvaitam create this difficulty. If you feel that there is a second thing existing from this one Ekam Atma, then there is fear. Has to be there. So it is on the strength of that he is saying here that it is there useless Arthavadam. Krishna says, for Arthavadam purposes, you can say all these things. He says like that. In this way, without giving any doubt about the not allowing any more doubt about the non-dual nature of the truth. Right? Advaita Anubhuti, even to such an extent, strongly Krishna has spoken there, and he has taken it out and thrown it in front of us so openly about the oneness of the soul. Right? That then still people will say, oh, still world exists. This exists, that exists. They keep coming back, saying this. And they accordingly, they will bring some Shastram also to justify that, right? So, to prove that Dvaitam exists. To prove that Dvaitam exists. So, About that is what Krishna is saying there. Yan nama akriti var grahyam. Dvaitam has come from namam akriti. Akriti means rupam. Namarupam is dvaitam. Namarupam is dvaitam. Namarupam is dvaitam. Anything what you know through name and form, namam and rupam, all of them through the five material elements, panchabhudatmakam, through the five material elements, that means our perception through shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham, the five things, right? That means hearing, touching, smelling, tasting, hearing, seeing, these five things, right? All of them, all these things, if you keep saying they all exist because I'm seeing it, whatever it may be, all of that thing what you are saying exist. Because you are saying, I'm seeing through my eyes, I've seen through my eyes, I heard through my ears, I tasted with my tongue, I smell through my nose, I touch with my skin. You may argue all that, Krishna is saying. But those who are saying that, Krishna is saying here, vyarthena api apyarthavadoyam. That's all vyartham, he says. I think Krishna is telling us the truth. Either we take it or forget it. That's all you can do about it. There's no point in arguing about this, because you can't have a much finer analysis of the truth than this. Vyarthena api arthavadoyam. Krishna is saying, told us in so many verses why the world is not real, why the body is not real, and explained it everything, and finally as a conclusion he's saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, if people are coming back and telling you again that this is real, that is real, all I can say is it's vyarthena api arthavadoyam. Arthavadam purposes, they can say all these things, and then all I can say is that at this point, when people come and tell us like that, we will also say, oh yeah, yeah, that's also correct. We'll go that way then. Because unable to capture this message properly, unable to capture this message properly. And so, this is an interesting thing. When we say all these things in the Bhagavatam, right? And people come back and tell you, well, how can you say that the world doesn't exist? Then we say, yes, the world exists. Because it doesn't get into their head. What do you say to them then? Somebody comes to you and says to you that all this is, they say, oh, it's not real. It's not real, it's temporary, isn't it? This is, okay. You can't say it's not real. So people say that it's temporary, right? So when you say it's temporary, okay, if it pleases you that way, keep it as temporary then. What else can you say? If somebody comes to you. But proper people, proper authorities, Krishna is saying there, if you have accepted this, then if it is pleasing that person to give him some peace of mind, you say to him, okay, it is temporary, because the person is not ready for it, to accept that. So, that is also arthavadam. It's also arthavadam. So, like this you will see arthavadam in all statements in the many, many places in the Bhagavadam. Arthavadam is allowed in the Shastram. Because in spiritual life, everyone, you can't, our own mind and vasana is so different. Each one of us, is it not? And therefore, sometimes when I'm saying these things, or when you hear this one, everybody don't respond in the same way. Some people will accept it. Some people won't accept it. I know that it is the truth. They will say that, where is he getting this from? He must be a Mayavadi, or he must be this or that. Something they will say. You can say anything you like, but at the end of the day, what Krishna says very openly here in this 28th chapter, that Ekameva Edavan Eko Adyudiyo Vajasam Virame Yeneshido Vagasavas Charanti. Right? And Edavan Atma Sammoho Yad Vigalpastu Kevale Atma Nirdesam Atmanam Avalambona Yasyahi Nir Nama Gridibur Grahyam Panchavarna Vabhadidam Vyarthena Pyarthavadvayam Dvayam Panditamaninam. What more can you say? What more can you say? As I said before, Jadabharata says the same. And Sadashiv Brahmendra says the same. Vasishtha says the same. Sri Ramachandra says the same. Right? They are all jnanis in the same tradition. Janaka says the same. So if they can all accept this one truth of oneness, why we have so much difficulty? But if you still disagree with everything what they are saying, carry on with what you are happy with, comfortable with, and at some point in time you may also ask the same question. But you can't deny that, what Krishna is saying here. That is unquestionable. There ends everything. There ends everything. That is the important point here. So therefore, what you are saying here is that just temporarily, if somebody comes up with a vadam or argument that for him Dvaitam is a reality, temporarily to please him, we have to accept that. Why shouldn't we accept that at that time to please that person? But your position inside is this, what Krishna has spoken. Dvayam panditamaninam. Krishna says to Uddhava, these scholars, pandita, who thinks they are scholars, themselves as scholars, and they are arguing in this way sometimes. What can be done? Next verse. Yogino apakva yogasya yunjada kayamuthidehi upasargair vihanyeda tatrayam vihido vithi. Yogino apakva yogasya yunjada kayamuthidehi upasargair vihanyeda tatrayam vihido vithi. A person, a yogi who has practiced a yoga system, yoga process, but did not become perfect in that yoga process. And for that person, his body will cause different problems. body will create a lot of obstacles for him. Pratibandham. What the word used there? Upasargam. Upasargam means that obstacles that is being caused by that body. For a yogi who has not perfected himself. And that is when he will go and accept this arthavadam. You see? When this arthavadam comes in? Arthavadam comes in that sometimes that a yogi is going in the spiritual path, right? He is practicing a yoga process and he is trying to advance. But at that time, his body will come bring some trouble. Some problem for the body. And he is unable to, because he doesn't have that strength of realization inside, he will struggle. We all do, don't we? Just like you can see that how our way of thinking can be changed by changes in the body. We know that. When you are suffering heavily with the body, right, you will accept anything given to you as spiritual knowledge. It's quite common in that, isn't it? You are told anything you will do at that time. This is the way the body controls us. When you are in trouble with the body, when something you are told, look, you must have committed some offenses to somebody, that's why you are suffering, you'll say, yeah, I've done. Anybody comes and tells you anything, you will accept it. Because of the situation with this body. That's what Krishna is saying here. He's saying here that this yogi is also, when he says yogi, refers to all sadhakas who are engaged in spiritual activity, trying to realize the truth. So in that process of spiritual realization, that many, many obstacles can come. Either through the body it can come, through the mind it can come, and through the senses it can come. You don't know how problems will come from which source, which angle it will come from. So, at that time, any of these arthavadam, what they produce, will be acceptable to them. And then you tell him anything at that time, he will accept it. Krishna is saying that. Then you tell him that you do like this, that you pray to Krishna like this, and Krishna will make sure that if you surrendering this to him, or you offer this to him, and everything will be sorted. Krishna will sort it out for you. You're not getting a job, Krishna will provide you a job. Or you're not getting married, Krishna will arrange the girl for you to get married. All kinds of thoughts goes through our mind in that way. And at that time, this Dvaitam will work very well. Arthavadam and Dvaitam will come. And you will accept any Arthavadam that is provided at that point. And temporarily you will say that that's okay. I will accept that. It could be that reason. Yes. Then another question. You are talking about this Advaitam, right? Then why all this sadhana then? That question will come. Is it not? Advaitam is fine. But why all the sadhana? What for? That question also comes, isn't it? Why name and form? Why name and form? Why chanting the holy name? Why do all this anushtanam, daily sadhana, and you are supposed to get up early in the morning and perform your sadhana and live a regulated life, all these kind of things, pranayama. People will ask all these questions. And one thing, what you have to remember, Advaitam does not mean you have to give up all these things. Nowhere it is spoken like that. Although, in the modern world, there is some propaganda in that way also, because people do get attracted by the philosophy of Advaitam, but at the same time, properly established in Advaitam personalities will never ever give up their sadhana. Ever give up their sadhana. Because to stay in that Advaitam state, to come to that state, you have to travel a lot before that. Like we said, purification of karma first, which is what Krishna calls as the karma yoga. That is necessary for chitta shuddhi, for purification of one's own vasanas, to wipe it out from inside. Bhakti is necessary to receive that mercy from Krishna. Because ultimately, no matter what we do here, the success depends on Krishna's grace. Whether it is Advaiti or Dvaiti, it doesn't matter. So there, to receive that grace from Krishna, bhakti is necessary. That is why anushtanam, deity worship, puja, and swadhyayam, all the other, sandhyavandanam, everything is a part of that, that can never be given up at any time. It's all a part of the karma yogam or the bhakti yogam, part of that. Before we talk about this realization of the Advaitam. So, that is why in Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishta Advaitam, everything is included. It's already there. It is through Dvaitam and Vishishta Advaitam and all that you can ultimately end up in the Advaitam. End up in the Advaitam. So, he will accept everything as a part of the process of the realizing the truth. Gaudabada Acharya, who is a direct disciple of the Sudev Goswami, who says this. What does he say? He says, Advaitam paramarthobi dvaitam. Advaitam paramarthobi. Paramartham is Advaitam. But we don't have any objection to anybody else, to any other philosophical positions. Everything we can accept. Why do we accept it? Arthavadaha. Arthavadaha. Because Advaitam has not come in anubhuti. In your experience, Advaitam has not come yet. So, till you experience that Advaitam within, we are still Dvaiti. We remain as Dvaiti. That you can't negate that. So, that is why they are saying here that as long as you are not come to that state of Advaitam, of realization inside, in whichever plane you are situated, you still have to continue with all the other duties, what one is supposed to do. And only if you do that, that obstacles what is causing that, they will go away. To come to this platform, it does take many, many lifetimes, experiences, realizations, isn't it? We are talking about King Janaka, whom Krishna has quoted in the Bhagavad Gita. Astito Janakadeya, Krishna is saying, isn't it? King Janaka and all the members of the family, what does Sukadeva Goswami talks about them? If you look into 9th canto, see what he says there. Sukadeva Goswami goes to Janaka to take instructions on Advaitam from him. Is it not? You can see in the 9th canto. The whole story is there in the Puranam about it was while talking in the 13th or 14th chapter, the 9th canto, where he mentions this, that that's when you understand the position. Yeah, see, verse 27 in the 13th chapter, verse 27, Shuka Brahmashi is saying about Janaka, Etevai Maithila Rajan, Atma Vidya Visharada. All the personalities who appeared in that dynasty, they are all Atma Vidya Visharada, experts in the knowledge of the self. Why? Yogeshwara Prasadena, by Krishna's mercy. They are like that. Dvandvair Muktva Griheshwabi. They were totally free from the dundvam, from duality, even though they were all householders. Etevai Maithila Rajan, Atmavidya Visharada, Yogeshwara Prasadena, Dvandvair Muktva Griheshwapi. So, you won't get a certification like this from Shuka Brahmashi easily. So, Shuka Brahmashi is saying this about Janaka. Krishna says, Astido Janaka Deya. They have followed this process of knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? So, having said all that, if King Janaka, Vasishtha, Lord Ramachandra, and Jadabharata, and Dattatreya, King Nimi, who heard from the Navayogis, if all of them are talking about the truth in this way, it cannot be false. Is it not? And to reject that will be foolish. True? Foolish. So you can see like this throughout Bhagavadam, if you carefully read through, you will find a lot of things which is pointing out one thing what Krishna is talking about here. That is this. Then, Edavan Atma Sammoho Yad Vikalpastu Kevale Atmanudesum Atmanam Avalambo Na Yasehi Yan Nama Kritibur Grahyam Panjavarnam Abhadidam Vyarthena Pyarthavadoyam Dvayam Panditamaninam. And then he said, Yogino Apakva Yogasya Yunjada Kayam Uthidai Upasaggai Vihanyada Tatrayam Vihido Vidhi. That is the 38th verse. Krishna is saying here that till you realize this truth, Advaitam of oneness, up to that time, we have to continue with the other things. Because the other things, passing through this Advaitam, Vishishta Advaitam and all, is to remove that obstacles, what is inside. We have to go through that process. It is at that level that they are accepted. They are accepted. So, that is the another thing. Because obstacles will come. And only if you follow that process, that obstacles will go. Which means sadhana, anushtanam, upasana, then the regulated principles and deity worship, swadhyayam, everything. But they are meant for removing the obstacles what you are experiencing in your path towards the realization. Therefore, Krishna says in the next verse, Uddhava, to do that, what are the processes? Yogadharanaya kamschil, verse 39. Kamschil rasaner dharana anyudai, tapo mantram aushader kamschil, Ubasargan vinirdahel. Yogadharanaya kamschil dasaner dharana anyudai, tapo mantra aushade kamschil, Ubasargan vinirdahel. Ubasargan vinirdahel. Then, what are the ways, for example, to some people, you have to say something else because everybody is different. That is the problem. If everybody is similar, then you can give one instruction. But because everybody is so different, we have to give different medicine for the disease, right? So, for some people, Krishna is saying here that they may have to engage in yoga process, yoga dharana. Some people, even though they are jnanis, they will not give Mahavakya Upadesham. Mahavakya Upadesham means the Upanishad's teaching directly to anyone. Some people, when they come, they will say, you engage in yoga process. You know that the decision which yoga process to follow, that's not made on day one. That happens at a much later date. What suits a person, right? But here, a person who is aspiring in spiritual advancement, when he approaches the teacher will look at him and he may give different instructions. Either he may ask him to follow the yoga process, or he may ask him to, he may not give instructions on the Upanishads to him. He may keep that away from him. And to some people he may say that follow this process of Patanjali's process. Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam. And to some others he will say chant the holy name. So everybody it is different. And to some others they will say engage in Pranayamam. That will look. So look at the person's necessary, what will help him in his advancement, accordingly the instruction. To one person you may say pranayama will help you. You have seen people who are very attached to pranayama, isn't it? But pranayama is not a remedy for everybody. For some people it may suit, and some others they may accept chanting the holy name process. That's what suit that person. He needs that. And for some others yoga process may work. Yoga process may work. Right. And otherwise, to some others, we will say that to some others, they will say, you come alone and I will talk to you separately on its own and give him another instruction, something different than all these things. So, in this way, to get a control over the mind. Ultimately, to get the control over the mind, that is the principle, isn't it? You know, in the Bhagavadam, the whole thing is spoken about. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? The mind has to come under control. So for some people, the chanting the holy name will bring that mind under control. For some others, dhyana, meditation may help. For some others, yoga processes may help. So in this way, through dharana, dhyanam and all these things, if the mind becomes a lot more focused, and the purpose behind all that is the mind is going into the world outside unnecessarily. It's wandering around in the world. How to turn this around and turn inwards? This is the whole issue. So that is called the one-pointedness of the mind. That the mind which is used to wandering in the world looking for sense gratification, how to turn the mind around and look inwards to go and inquire about the truth. To get that habit developed in a person, you require different processes according to the person's necessity, what he needs, right? So, all these years, we trained our mind to go into the world and to look for the truth there. And the fact is, Krishna is saying that till this, what do they call it, the Andharmukhatvam. Andharmukhatvam means inward-looking nature that we have not cultivated. Everything else we did. But that one thing what is required, we didn't do it. So therefore, because and that is the greatest obstacle in inquiring after the truth. Everything what we are discussing in the Bhagavadam is about the inside story, not the outside story. Is it not? So the inside story, you have to go inside. And so the going in is getting difficult day by day. We study, we organize, we manage, we do this, so many projects going on. So many things we are doing, but nothing is working at the end. And then we blame others also for what has gone wrong. That's all useless at the end. So Krishna is saying here that some people require certain upasana to steady the mind, right? Or some people, on the other hand, if they are not engaged in their body properly, they will have a problem. That also you have seen. Some people require a lot of bodily activity. Otherwise, they cannot stay in this world or they cannot engage in spiritual life. If there is, that is, there are the group of people who will say that you're not doing any service. So they will bang on you for that, right? So, because they need service, that is the problem. The ones who are propagating that philosophy strongly is the ones who needs it badly. So they are looking at others also and thinking that, look, he's not doing any service. What's the point in chanting the holy name? He's not doing any service. So he'll catch you on that. So this way, that absence of various kind of services, whether for the body or the mind, is required. The whole purpose of all this thing is to get that mind move away from the world. Move away from the world. Mind has gone so far into the world, it's finding it so difficult to talk about a thing called the soul inside. They say, what is there to talk about it so much? I'm not this body. Is that not enough? That's what they will say. That's why we will, so for them, accordingly, so many different engagements in that way, to suit their nature. To suit their nature. So, so for some people, only mental service or mental upasana, manasika upasana, is not sufficient. For them, bodily service is required, and that has to be given. To some others, what do you say? You go on a pilgrimage to all the holy places. Keep on wandering around all over the world. To one holy place, to another holy place, one temple to another temple. Keep wandering like this. After some time, and it will, you will also get, start thinking a bit, where am I going at the end? Isn't it? They will come to them naturally, in a natural way. So, to some others, you will say to them, do a lot of fasting. You can see that. Also works. In some people, it works. If you tell them, do a lot of fasting in life, all the Ekadashi, totally without prasadam, and every appearance day, disappearance day, fasting, and all the other Janmashtami, Ramanavami, and Narasimha Chaturdashi, anything and everything, we have plenty in the list. You, all of them, follow them, all of them strictly fasting. There is a vasana in that person to do that. You give that to them, it will work for them. It will work for them. And to somebody else, you say, every morning you get up and pay 1,000 times obeisances in front of the deity. There are a lot of people who does that. They used to do that in the previously. If you go to the old temples, you will find a stone there, only for namaskaram, just for paying obeisances, right? And paying obeisances, it will be worn at certain places in that stone. You will see where the body touches the stone. So thousands of times every morning they'll pay obeisances on top of that stone. It suits them. They need that. They need that. And to some others, you will say, you circumambulate in the temple as many times as possible, chanting the holy name. Like this, different instructions according to the person's nature. According to the person's nature. And for some, so for some others, all this is not sufficient. Even though there is all these instructions, still not sufficient. And for them, they have only faith in the mantra. Some special mantra they need. So you will have to give them some special mantra from the shastram for them to. It is not the mantra that does the job. It's the faith in the mantra that does the job. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Narayanaya. There is no difference in the result. But if you have faith in Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, that is what you should be able to chant. And similarly, Panchaksharam, Om Namah Shivaya also, has faith in the Shiva to such an extent, if they chant that holy name, they will have the benefit. That's why in the Bhagavadam, chanting the holy name of Lord Shiva is not rejected. Have you noticed that? Yadvakshare namagireri dandranam pavitra girtim tamalankhya shasanam vahanaho Dveshti Shivam Shivetara. Sri Parvati says this to Sati Devi, says this to Indri Dashayagam. She says, who will not chant the two letters Shiva? She is asking that question. Mahanaho Dveshti Shivam Shivetara, that who will offend that two letters, Lord Shiva's two letters, name. So like this, Bhagavatam has not rejected. What it means is that Sri Parvati had that faith in that letters to such an extent. She chanted and she reached that position where she is, isn't it? So in the same way, though all this is like a medicine given to different people for different purpose. So for some others, there will be problem from the body. Problems from the body. And aushadehi, that is what Krishna is saying there. See that verse, he covers all these things. Yoga dharanaya kamshil dasaner dharananyudehi tapo mandram aushadehi kamshil upasargan vinirdahed. By doing all these things, upasargam has to go. Upasargam means the obstacles in your advancement in spiritual life. That's what he's talking about. He's saying there that there are medicines for aushadehi which can straighten up your body or mind. And you take that medicine for some time, it may cure that problem. Or for some others, you tell them, change your diet. Take these kind of food. This will help you to change. Because for some people who have not understood spiritual life properly, what they will do is they will try to develop a diet which will which will develop the body nicely, but with muscles and like what you say, there are people like that. You will see sometimes they are devotees, but then they also want to develop the body with that. So that nature in a person, where does that come from? It's also that vasana inside and not understood properly. But when you are in the spiritual life, you need a diet to suit the spiritual life, not the spiritual life to suit the diet. Not the other way. So that we have to change, is it not? So at that time, Krishna is saying here that that's what he's also saying here, that you're offered a certain type of diet to suit your bodily needs and at the same time help you in your spiritual path. And you give him instructions that take food like this, change the timings of the taking the food. Instead of 5 times a day, make it once or twice and take it in the daytime rather than eating at night. So things like that. So by somehow or the other, the purpose is this, somehow or the other, whichever place he is situated at the moment in his spiritual place, in his position, spiritual position, and if he has got an obstacle there, you have to remove that obstacle from his spiritual life. That is the idea behind it. And move him on to the next step. To the next step. And from there to the next step. And from there to the next step further. That's what Krishna is saying in the next verse. You see that? Kamshil man anudhyanena nama sangirtana adibi yogeshwara anuvrityava hanyad ashubhadan shanehi kamshin mama anudhyanena nama sangirtanadibhi yogeshwara anuvrityava hanyad ashubhadan shanehi. Hanyan ashubhadan shanehi. Shanehi means slowly, slowly, all the ashubham, inauspicious things on your spiritual path, hanya, it should be taken out. Hanya ashubhadan shanehi, little by little. Yogeshwara anuvrtyaha. That is, some people, Krishna is saying, they worship me and keep my form inside. Remember me all the time. Dhyanam. That is the process. Dhyanam means remembrance, not exactly the form, not in that sense. Remembering Krishna means remembering it is He who is inside me. As Antaryami, driving me, controlling me all the time in my life. This awareness all the time inside, that is dhyanam. knowing well that Krishna is inside dictating me, keeping this body going, keeping this, that means to always remain in a surrendered state to Krishna. That Krishna is doing everything from inside. If anything bad happens, not to blame Krishna. That time you have to accept that it is prarabdham that is coming. Krishna has allowed that prarabdham to come through this body now. And not without any complaint, accepting that in that way. That is a surrendered state. And something good comes also, good in the sense, in the material sense. When thing good happens, always to recognize that Krishna has put me through this situation. Maybe something Krishna has wants me to go through this phase in life to enjoy or to experience this particularly. So, good or bad, whatever it may be, in all situations to accept that Krishna is behind it. And to live in that state of consciousness, that is dhyanam. That is dhyana. Then, some others, they completely take shelter of the holy name. Nama Sankirtanam. Some others, they follow that process. Always chanting the holy name. Always chanting the holy name. And some others, they take complete shelter of satsangam. All these are possibilities. Krishna is saying here. Kamschin mam anujyanena nama sankirtana adivi. You see the word he has used. Nama Sankirtan Adivi. Adivi means Nama Sankirtanam and others along with that, which goes along with that. And similarly, some others, they take shelter of the highly realized souls. They get an opportunity. Suppose if somebody gets an opportunity to, that of course, arranged by Krishna. Krishna brings that to somebody's life. You know, association with a highly learned or realized soul. And in this way, all the blocks in your path in spiritual life is removed. That's what Krishna is saying there. All the blocks is removed from our life. Yoga dharanaya kamshil dasaneir dharananidei tabo mandraushadei kamshil upasargan vinirdahed kamshin mam anudhyanena nama sankirtanadibi yogeshara anuvrtyava hanyad ashubhadan shanehi. Then the next one. Kejil dehamimam dhira sukalpam vayasistiram vidhaya vivido bhayai atha yunjandi siddhaye. Another one. Krishna is saying there that some people, they see this body, their own body, they use certain processes to strengthen this body. Kayagalpa chikilsa, it's called. That means you can make your body through that treatment. Ayurvedam, it is famous. Kaya Kalpa Chikilsa. But you have to do that every year for many, many years. Continuously, if you do that, what will happen is that it will strengthen the body and you will feel more youthful by doing that. More youthful. And you live for a long time as well. You can live for a long time as well by maintaining the body in that, through that treatment process. There are many people who had like that, who have done this Kayagalpam Chigilsa. Of course, nowadays it is a little different, but the traditionally there were people who were able to do such a thing, and they were able to. At the age of 110, there was one yoga teacher who taught Tipu Sultan yoga process, right? And he used to ride the horses at 110. He was 110 years old. And he used to teach yoga system, yoga to Tipu Sultan at that time. So that is there, that kind of situations. Then, nahidat kushaladatyam tadvayaso habartaga andavatval sharirasya phalasyava vanaspate. Krishna saying, next verse, that intelligent person should not go in all these businesses, should not endeavor in that direction, because he says here, no matter what you do at the end, this body is going to go. So why waste time? This is Krishna's point. Krishna doesn't agree with it. Some people do all that, Krishna says, but he doesn't agree with it, because at the end of the day, the body is going to go. No matter what you do, what you do. So don't waste your life for that purpose. Then you see, why he says there, isn't it? Then,
Nahizat kushala adrityam tadva ayaso abarthaka andavatval sharirasya.
That is important thing. Shariram has an end. Body has an end. Suppose instead of living for 90 years, you lived 100 years. What's the big deal? Or 110, 120. Your name will come in the paper. You'll get the Queen's medal and all that. Is that something worthwhile struggling for? Krishna is saying, don't be foolish, he's saying, that the body is going to go one day. Krishna is always saying this one thing, that you got some time and some energy in life. Use it now in the right way and get the benefit and go from here. Don't make your own ideas. Krishna is telling us in that way. He's saying that you got a certain, only very short period of time, not a lot. And in that also, the time when we have got proper sense to do something right is also very limited, isn't it? Because youth is all busy with other activities, conquering the world. Old age is all misery anyway. So fully finished. Mind, body, senses, everything. So practically you can see in life there is only a very small period of time where you can definitely use in spiritual path, in spiritual direction. And that, don't waste it. That's the Krishna's point. So, therefore he says, don't waste your life for that purpose. When a tree with a lot of fruits, when all the fruits have fallen, one day the tree will fall at the end. Similarly, this body also, when all what it has to go through, if it has gone through, this body will fall. That is Krishna's point. Therefore, it is not worthwhile following that route, he says. Sometimes, Krishna says, due to practice of spiritual life, adhyatma sadhana, by engaging in spiritual life, that means, spiritual life means he's more regulated, isn't it? One who is leading proper spiritual life, he lives a regulated life. And due to spiritual understanding, he is more peaceful inside. You will see that he will be sometimes more healthy than a person who is working very hard outside, isn't it? And due to practice of spiritual life, it is possible that his material body may survive for some longer period. But even there, you should not give attention to the body. You should not get attracted by the body then. Another important thing. Sometimes due to practice of spiritual life, suppose somebody is disciplined without any stress, living a life of peace inside and a healthy life, free from all sinful activities, it's quite possible that you may get a longer lifetime. Seeing that you should not get attracted to the body, Krishna is saying, again warning there. Because once you get attracted to the body, what will happen? You will become, identification with the body will increase. Ahankaram will grow. And then some people will start interpreting that this is all the spiritual benefit. They will take it in the other way. This is all the spiritual benefit. Look at him, he is 90 years old. See how he looks like now. He looks like 30 or 40, even though he is 90 years old. So, the world can only see these things. World cannot see what Krishna is saying there. World is not used to all these things, isn't it? World will interpret it in like this. When they see somebody is healthy and he is, like we say that the devotees, when they have the five faces are shining and all that, people or karmis were saying, look at this, that in such a small period of time they became shining faces and they are spiritually very advanced and all that. What spiritual life has done to them. World will see things like that. World won't understand what Krishna is talking about, is it not? So that is the important thing there. And then world won't understand your realizations, your craving for the truth inside and your meditation. All these things are unknown to the world. World won't know all this. World will only see your body and make the judgment based on that. So that is why you can see that world will never understand Jnani. Acharya Swamiji, 32 years, he left this world. Jnaneshwar left the world at 21. Right? Jnaneshwar left the world at 21. Sundaramurthy Swamiji left at 18 years old. So, where will you include them? To look at people's body and to make judgments on that, what does it mean? It means nothing. From Krishna's point of view, that body is not something, such a glorified thing that you have to keep on praising and talking about it, about this body, isn't it? So, body has come to you. You didn't go looking for the body. Body came to you because of your karma. And karma created this body. And what is such a big thing, deal, to talk about it so much? That is Krishna's point. So, similarly, many, many great personalities left very early this world. Vivekananda left at 39 or something. He left this world, isn't it? So, and not only that, this body, when you have got it, all the diseases are also there in this body, isn't it? Therefore, because it is like that, when you are living in this body, to remain in a healthy state is the goal that should never come to you. That's the advice, Krishna's advice. While remaining in this body, to think that to staying healthy in this body is the goal should never happen to anybody. That's a misunderstanding. It's a misunderstanding. While in remaining in this body, because when you start seeing the spiritual understanding, you will know what ignorance means. Otherwise, you will never know. Because generally the world will tell you, if you look nice, or your stomach is not very much outside, or your weight and height is matching, body mass index is in the chart, in the right place, BMI is in the right place, people will say, oh, everything is perfect with him. Is this the goal? Is this the goal of all spiritual life? To get the BMI right? So that's what Krishna is pointing out. That don't fall into that trap. That to stay healthy, or if the body somehow happened to be healthy due to some spiritual practices, right? But don't take that as spiritual life. That's what Krishna's point. That just remaining healthy is the spiritual life. That itself is a misunderstanding. If the body stays good, fine. No problem with that. But even if it is in the healthy state, Krishna is saying, don't give attention to the body. Even if the body is in a healthy state, don't give attention to it. Because if your attention goes there, it will go away from the truth. You're gone away from the truth. So we have to be careful about all these things, isn't it? So, because you can see, there are many people who are very, very healthy, but who have no shanti inside. They're very healthy, very physically fit. They will run London Marathon, Boston Marathon, all the marathons in this world. And they'll collect all the medals everywhere. But inside is like a volcano ready to erupt any time. And so, in their state, what Krishna is saying there, that those who are going after the body, one way or the other, what is in store at the end is disappointment. You will get disappointed one day. You can see, practically, if you look at big athletes and big people who are after the body to that extent, that all this is at the end will cause problems, Krishna is saying here. They will experience themselves a lot of distress, and in that process they will also give trouble to others. This you can see sometimes. You know, in politics also, it's not so much here in India. Some of these politicians, they're well over 90. And some of them are over 90. They won't go. And what people say about them, look, what Krishna has given them good health to stay in the politics. To stay in the politics. So what these people do, they not only they have problems, they give trouble to others. They can't walk. They are old, but all the faculties have not gone yet. They still hold on to politics. And they won't go away. So, now if you start saying they are all yogis, will that be true? They will never be yogis. They are just politicians. And same thing in business also sometimes you find. Some people find it very difficult to come out of it. So they'll hold on to it somehow or the other. So, they are not yogis. They are not even rogis. They are not even bogis. They are mahadrohis. They are. Actually, they give so much misery into this world. There are many like this. Don't want to... You know, if you are reading the newspaper and if you are following the politics, you will know who they are. There are so many like this. They can never come out of it. They remain in that and give trouble to others. So we'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam vaumaha davagni nirvavanam shreya kaitava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadhu jeevanam anandam budhivardhanam pratipada purnamrita swadanam sarvatna swapanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam nanamagari bahudanija sarva shakti tatrapidane midasmaranena kala edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi ദുദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനാഗാഹം തൃണാഭീഷണീചേന ഹരോരഭി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി നധനം നജനം നസുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവദാദ് ഭക്തിരഹൈതുകിത്വൈ ഹൈ നന്ദതനൂജകിങ്കരം പതിതാം വാംശമേ ഭവാംബുദൌ കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജസ്ഥിതൂളീ സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ നയനം ഗളദശുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുളകയം ജിതം കഥാവഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായിതം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിതം ശൂന്യായിതം ജഗത് സർവം ഗോവിന്ദഗ്രഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലേഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം പിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാമഹതാം കരോതു വാ So, these concluding verses in this chapter, Krishna closes the chapter with this one important message. What is that? Krishna is saying to us that, I'll read the verses and then come to that. Yoga dharana ya kamshil dasane dharana nidai tapo mandra ushade kamshil ubasarga anvinirdahed കാംഷിന് മാമനുധ്യാനേന നാമസങ്കീർത്തനാദിഭി യോഗേശ്വരാനുവൃത്യാവ ഹന്യ അശുഭദാൻശനൈഹി കേചിദ്ദേഹമിമം ധീര സുകൽപം വയസി സ്ഥിരം വിധായ വിവിധോപായേ അദയുഞ്ചന്തി സിദ്ധയേ നഹിതൽ കുശലാദൃത്യം തദായാസോ ഹപാർത്ഥക അന്ധവത്വാൽ ശരീരസ്യ ഫലസ്യവ വനസ്പതേ യോഗം നിഷേവതോ നിത്യം കായശ്ചേൽ കൽപദാമിയാൽ തച്ഛ്രദ്ധ്യാനമതിമാൻ യോഗമുത്സൃജമൽപര യോഗചര്യാമിമാം യോഗി വിചരൻ മദപാശ്രയ അന്തരായേർവിഹന്യത നിസ്പൃഹ സ്വസുഖാനുഭൂ. Krishna is saying to us a last message there, that body should never be given any importance at any time. Krishna showed us why body is not real, isn't it? He showed us in the last 36 verses. Then Krishna is saying, don't give importance to it under any circumstances. Because how long the body will stay is not in our control. Sometimes it will appear as though you are living a longer time and you feel happy about that. But don't get affected by that. And that is why these examples that... Look at really spiritually advanced people. They all had different lifespan. Is it not? They all had lived for different periods of time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived how old? 48. He left the body at 48. Shankaracharya left at 32. And Yaneshwar left at 21. Sundaramurti left at 18 years old. Sundaramurti. Jnanasambandha left even earlier. And look at Ramanujacharya, 120. Madhvacharya, 82. So, how long the body stayed here has no relationship with your spiritual position. It is something that has come and that will go one day. That's the only way you have to look at the body. That's the message here, what Krishna is saying here. Not to give importance to that how long you lived, how healthy you were. Never discuss this, Krishna is saying there. Don't even discuss this topic. So, you can, Vivekananda, 39, gone early. So, some people stayed long. Ramanujacharya lived up to 120. Madhvacharya left at 82. Based on that, don't judge a person's spiritual understanding of life. See, Krishna is saying here, even if it's staying healthy up to that age, don't think that he has some spiritual, it has some spiritual significance. No, it is nothing to do with spiritual life, he's saying here. If it stays like that, fine, leave it like that. Even if it stays healthy, don't give attention to it, he says. Don't put your shraddha into that. Because, as he said, that a lot of people are there in this world remaining healthy, but there is inside, what's the use? Inside is all disturbances. It's a mess inside. Outside is healthy. What's the use? That's Krishna's logic. Inside is a mess, but outside is very healthy. What's the use of that life? That's Krishna saying here. And that's why that even after people have this general nature. When somebody is very old, they are in politics, they are up to 90, 80, 90. People think that, Krishna has given them a lot of mercy. See, look at him. Even at the 90, they are remaining as chief minister or prime minister, whatever it may be. He says, just like a huge lump of flesh, what's the use? He says, so, if you, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, if you give attention to all that, you will get trapped in that. You will get trapped in that. never to give attention to the shraddha in the body. Never to give shraddha in the body. Because yoga is not for the body. Yoga is not for the body. And keeping the body very healthy is not a big achievement. Keeping the body very healthy is not a big achievement. Krishna's statement. Keeping the body healthy is not a big achievement. Because if it is there and if it is in a good state, it's fine. Take it, use it. But that also may happen. Some people, by some good fortune, they get a healthy body. That's okay. But and some people will be very established in the studying of the Shastram, Jnana Nishtha, or established in the truth. Some people have a lot of bhakti in the heart. And the internal benefit what he has got, and and physical benefit some people get. Some people get the internal benefit. They develop bhakti in the heart. Some people develop knowledge in their life. Some people develop bhakti. Some people develop renunciation. That is the internal benefit. The external benefit is some people have a healthy body. So Krishna is saying that in life all these things will happen. According to the people, according to the person, it will happen. So, and seeing that is also healthy. Which one? Seeing the internal development in a person. That is more beautiful than seeing the external development in a person's body. In a person's body. And we are only used to that, isn't it? Seeing a person's external development and feeling happy about that should never happen. Krishna is saying, you should see if bhakti develops in the heart, if jnanam develops in the heart, vairagyam develops in the heart, that is the internal development, that is the real beauty. Some people may have both, but internal development is more beautiful, Krishna is saying, than the external development. For example, when Paramacharya, Chandrasekhara Saraswati, he lived up to 101, right? And when he was 100 years old, practically nobody knew what disease he had in his body. He had many diseases. Nobody knew about it. And no one knew about it because he never mentioned anything to anybody about it. That is how he was. So at the end, he never took to allopathy. He always used Ayurveda. That was, the Prabhupada was also more or less like that. Ayurveda, they dependent on that because they see body in a different way. So he had the Ayurvedic doctors who treated them, who came to see him. They are still, some of them are still living. And they were came there, and sometime, because in allopathy you have the more technology of this measuring things and related to surgery and all that. So they brought the doctors also with them. These were the disciples who were there with him at that time. So the doctor says to him, after measuring different things in the body, doctors told him, you got a heart problem. The doctors says to him, he says, I got it for the last 40 years, he said. That was his answer. You see how he is seeing. He says, this is nothing new you are telling me. I knew this, he said. Last 40 years I got this problem in this body. I thought you are going to tell me something new. Then he said, you got ulcer in the stomach. He says, I got that for the last 30 years, he said. That ulcer, I am living with that in this body. The last 30 years I am living with that, he said. So I kept it to myself. I knew I got it. But what's the point in saying to somebody else about all these problems, he said. So so then they asked him, because he was so old, they couldn't talk to him freely. So they asked some of the young people who were looking after him, what did he do when he had the ulcer? He said, all he used to do was, he used to roll on the ground with the pain. He used to roll on the ground with the pain. And after some time, the pain will go. And he is also back to normal. So this is how he dealt with his own body. Imagine that. Nowadays, for us, if you get a little pain, that's enough. 20 painkillers will follow after that. Is it not? That's the difference. How we are and how they were. Such a huge difference. That for them, this body, they have not taken the way we are taking this body. We this is what I'm saying, that avidya jnanam that has grown so big in us. We want all our painkillers and we want also Bhagavad Gita. The two together doesn't match. When problem comes, we are completely lost with that. So that is, it's an example to say to us what Krishna is saying here. That body, why you take it to such an extent seriously? He's saying that sometimes it may last longer time. Sometimes it may start shorter time. Sometimes it may be very healthy. Sometimes it may not be healthy. No matter what condition the body is, don't put your attention into that. Give the attention to the real vastu inside rather than to this dead matter, what is inside. That is the important principle. So, and fortunately for him, for Paramacharya, till the age of 100 years, he didn't have any crippling diseases. That means where he was bedridden, completely had to stay in the bed, and he managed to get through up to 100 in that way. He had a lot of problems inside, but they were not problems that will put him to stay in the bed or prevent his freedom, right? That's the way it was, and he accepted that. That's what it is, the body is. And he lived in that way and left this world. So that is exactly what Krishna is pointing out here. They do not give the highly advanced persons in spiritual field. They will look at the body in this way. It is there. It's a botheration. So once you know it's a botheration, why you have to worry about it to that extent? He's saying that. He's saying never your attention go in that direction. That because most of us think, if I can, first let me get my body very healthy, and then I will start my spiritual life. This is our way of thinking, isn't it? So therefore, we go into that route too far. But that's not ideally the thing. What Krishna is saying here is that is not the way to go. 43 and 44, yogam nishevato nityam, കായശ്ചേത് കൽപദാമിയാദ് തശ്രദ്ധധ്യാനമതിമാൻ യോഗമുത്സൃജ്യമൽപരാഹ യോഗചര്യാമിമം യോഗി വിചരന്മതപാശ്രയ അന്തരായർവിഹന്യേത നിസ്പൃഹാസു സുഖാനുഭൂ. This yogacharya, the system of yoga I have spoken, Krishna is saying here, that one who has known this, what he will do, he will take my help first. He will take Krishna's shelter first. That means he will depend on Krishna first, more than depending on anything else in this world. And he will live in this world in that way, and travel in this world, and he will not fall. Krishna says, no obstacle will cause any problem for him in his advancement. Nispraha, that means he has no plans in his head and always situated in the platform of the soul, and he will live in that way and saying that Krishna is sending Uddhava to Badrinath in the next chapter. Krishna is sending Uddhava to Badrinath in the next chapter. So, let us start with that. So, so this last chapter, Krishna spoke to Uddhava about spiritual life in its most serious way. One of the most important chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this 28th chapter. You can see what is the title in English. It called it as the Jnana Yoga, but the English translation also is the nature of the truth or something, I think. Yeah. Something like that. They have given. I mean, it is the ultimate truth, isn't it? What's it called? It as?
Yeah. Jnana
Yoga. 28. 28, yeah. Jnana Yoga, yeah. But somewhere else in another book, I noticed that. Nature of the Truth or something, that's titled it. Anyway, whatever it is, practically that whole chapter is about the truth. What is the truth? At the end, after reading and studying, understanding that chapter, then you will know that many things what Shastram is saying is different than what we have understood from the world. Is it not? World has taught us the world is real. World has taught us the body is real. Krishna is teaching us the world is not real. Krishna is telling us the body is not real. If you feel the world is real, fine. Stay in that state at the moment, till you come to that state when the world is not real. And same thing with the body as well. Then, finally, in conclusion, Krishna said there that dependent on Krishna is most important thing. See that? The last verse. Yoga Madhavashraya. Madhavashraya means completely taking Krishna's shelter. That is the secret of everything, taking complete shelter of Krishna. What does that mean? It means that you are in the spiritual life under Krishna's guidance and help, not doing independently doing things. Bhagavad Gita also says the same thing. Yogam yunjan madashraya, Krishna says. Madashraya is more important there. What does that verse say? I think it's in the 7th chapter. Mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya. So any yoga process, if you are executing, it should be madashraya. There it is madashraya, here it is madhavashraya. Same thing, practically it's the same thing. So without Krishna's help, there is no progress in spiritual path. It is not possible. So first thing in spiritual life is taking Krishna's shelter. Krishna's shelter means to know that without Krishna's help, it is not possible to realize the truth. That's where bhakti comes. Bhakti's role. To come to the truth, finally, without Krishna's help, it is not possible. So, karmam purifies a person's chitta shuddhi. Karmam is for chitta shuddhi. Bhakti is for mercy, Krishna's mercy. While chitta shuddhi happens, the mercy also has to come from Krishna. And with the combination of both together, is this realization comes. What Krishna has spoken in the last chapter. So, Bhagavad Ashraya And in that way, the execution of that yoga process, and with that, what are you practicing? Paramahamsa Dharmam. Paramahamsa's Dharmam. That is what is spoken. That means to see what is Paramahamsa Dharmam. Krishna has spoken that in detail. To see that what exists here is only Atma in everyone. To see the presence of Atma in everyone. Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyed Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana Bhudani Bhagavad Tesha Savai Bhagavadottama. That state. That is Paramahamsa Dharmam. That means freedom from Dvaitam. You escape, come out of the Dvaitam, and that full establishment in the truth of Advaitam, and that steadiness in that, to remain like that, that yogi, so sukhanubhuti, that means what has happened to him? You see that word Krishna is using there? So sukhanubhu, the last words. Yoga charyam imam yogim, yogi vijanan madabhashraya, andarayar vihanyeda, nispraha, so sukhanubhu. So sukhanubhu means so sukhanubhuti. That means he is totally relishing the realization inside of the self. Completely established in the truth of the self. No more birth and death. No more effect of the ahankaram, what experiences in this world. Fully knowing who he is, that awareness inside, and getting established there. And enjoying that bliss of the soul without any obstacles. Andarayer vihanyeta, he says. And he, Krishna says to Uddhava, travel in this world freely in that state. And saying this, Krishna stopped that instructions there. At that time, Uddhava has some questions. Uddhava is asking Krishna some questions. The first verse you can see, Uddhava vacham sudushcharam imam manye yogacharyam analpana yad anjasa puman siddhel tanme bruhi anjasa achyutam prayasha pundarigaksha yunjando yogino mana vishidandi asamadhanam mano nigraha karshidaha. When Uddhava heard this brilliant, amazing lecture of 28th chapter, he said to Krishna, he says, the lecture was very good, but it's brilliant, he says, but is it practical for me, he says. The usual thing what we all raise, isn't it? So, Uddhava is very interesting sometimes, the way he says that. He says to him, then this yoga process what you have spoken to me, and before that what did you say to me, Kriya Yogam, in the 27th chapter, about the deity worship you have spoken to me. And after that, 28th, you have spoken to me about Vedantam. You have spoken to me the Vedantam. Is this possible for a person who is totally in identification with the body, totally living in the body, completely established in the body, and it is impossible? Uddhava says to Krishna that because whatever you have spoken, even to understand this, that clarity itself is not there in a person, that maturity in a person, isn't it? What Krishna is saying, even to get that clarity inside, what he has spoken, even that maturity or that clarity is not there in a person. What will he do in that state? That is the Uddhava's question. Which is, we can understand why Uddhava asked that question. Is it not? Many people read the chapter 28 and they just think that this is not for us. They just leave it. That's why chapter 28 is never discussed in Bhagavatam lectures also. Because of its complex nature. It is expecting a certain depth of understanding. And that is why Uddhava also said the same thing. That even the maturity, they are not getting it. To get that clarity of what has been spoken there. That's why he's saying here, analpanaha. Analpanaha means, one who thinks of themselves as not Atma, as body. They are called analpanaha. One who thinks themselves as the soul is alpanaha. One who thinks themselves as the body is analpanaha. We are all in that category. Analpanaha. So for Analpanaha, one who has misunderstood Analpa as Alpa, they are Analpana, Analpmaha. One who has misunderstood body as the self, they are called Analpanaha. So, if you say all these things to them, what will they do with this knowledge, what you have given? So, therefore, Uddhava says to Krishna that this is what Krishna, Uddhava is asking on our behalf. Make it a bit simple. Don't make it too complex for us. He says there that just like our nature, we want the highest realization with the least effort. Isn't it? That's human nature. It's like that. He says, what everybody wants in this world. Uddhava is saying, I want the highest realization, but I should get it very in an easy way. Shortcut. Is there any shortcut for this? So, that's why you see that word? Bruhi Anjasa Achyuta. Anjasa means, can you tell me something simpler than this? A simpler process. Is there any simple way of getting there? Anjasa. Anjasa means simpler. Simpler system. Have you got something simpler to offer than this, what you have given us so far? What I want is, Uddhava says, a simple process given to me in a simple way. Everything should be simple for me. Process should be simple, and it should be explained to me in a simple way, and I can do it in the simplest way. So, if there is a process like that, give it to me, I'll take it, Uddhava says to them. So, and don't tell me anything, something, this way, that way, this way, that way, saying through all sorts of roundabout methods what you have spoken, this truth, don't present it to me in that way, he said. And the same thing, have you noticed, Uddhava said before also, in one instance. And he said to Uddhava, to Krishna says, he says to Krishna, my doubt never goes away. He says, you are saying so many things, but the doubt is still there. So still Uddhava is in the same category. So Krishna says, at that time, what did Krishna do? Do you remember? It was in the 11th chapter, I think. Few times it has happened. In one instance, when Bhikshu Gita was spoken, same thing happened. Krishna said something, Uddhava said, that's not possible, he said. I can't do that. It's too much you are expecting from me, he said. So Krishna gave, what did he do? He gave reply, Bhikshu Gita. He said, there are people who have done it. And here is the example, and told about the Bhikshu story. So Uddhava couldn't say it's not practical anymore, because somebody is there who has done it. So he kept quiet. In the 11th chapter, that is the most interesting part. 11th or 12th, I think, somewhere. Where Uddhava says to Krishna that... In the 12th chapter, verse 16. After saying everything about self-sangam, everything, he says, samshaya shrunoto vacham tava yogeshwareshwara na nivartada atmasto yena brahmidi me mana. That was the verse, right? Krishna, you know what Uddhava said to Krishna? Uddhava says, my doubts are not going here by hearing your words. You are yogeshwareshwara, Ishwara of all the yogeshwaras, Ishwara you are. That means the topmost yogi you are. But hearing your explanation, my doubts are not clearing. Na nivartada. And I am not getting any experience of the self. Atmastam. Na nivartada. Atmasto. But what's happening? Yena brahmyadi me mana. My mind is still going on and on and on and on with the doubts. That's what happened at that time. Right? So, what did Krishna do at that time? Did you see what Krishna did? Krishna gave a 5-6 verses which even nobody could understand what the answer was. This is the way Krishna's answer is. So this Krishna has done to Uddhava before. And a similar situation is developing now again. At that time, when Krishna Uddhava said like that, Samshaya Shrunado Vajam, Tava Yogeshwareshwara, Na Nivartada Atmasto Yena Brahmidi Me Mana. My mind is completely confused. I just don't understand what you are talking about, he says to Krishna. So normally you would have expected an answer for that, isn't it? Look at the answer. Answer is more interesting than the question. Answer is, Sa esha jivo vivara prasuti pranena ghoshena guham pravishta manomayam sushma ubetya rupam matrasaro varnam idi stavishtaha yathanala khenila bandurushma belena darunyati madhyamanam anuprajado havisha samidhyade tadeva me vektiriyam hivani evam gadir karma gadir visargo ghrano rasodrak prashashudischa sangalpa vijnana madhabhimanam sutram rajasattva tamo vigaram. What he is talking about is the birth of jiva. That was the answer to that. We have discussed those verses, so we won't go through that now. That is verses from 17 to 24. When Uddhava asked that question, Krishna told Uddhava how the jiva was born, the birth of jiva. That's what is spoken there. So, sa esha jivo vivara prasudi, the birth of jiva is itself, he say, amazing thing in the Bhagavadam. And so, he answered it like that. So, when Uddhava heard the answer, he became quiet. He didn't say anything anymore after that. So, the same thing. Then, then Krishna asked Uddhava, Uddhava, is your doubt clear now? When he answered, Uddhava says that after hearing the clarification, I'm not even getting any doubts anymore. That's how it is. There's no more doubts coming because the answer was so good that it has completely wiped out all doubts, everything from inside to such an extent that no more doubts are coming. That was the answer. So the answer is this, that what we have to understand is sometimes when you are talking about from Bhagavadam or from the Upanishads, you got to be like Krishna is doing. There's no other way. There's no other way. There is no shortcut in all these things. We make it simpler for ourselves. Krishna hasn't made it simpler. Do not fall into that illusion that we have, like we say, oh. Like the way we say, isn't it? It's Kali Yuga. That's a concession for us. And you just have to chant the holy name. That's another concession for us. And even if we are lacking something, everything will be adjusted at the end. Because my spiritual master will take me home. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful. Or like that. Something we will find out in this world. And we will make it simpler. Make it simpler to look like. Krishna has not made it simpler. Krishna's way of doing it is like this. When Uddhava asked that question, he gave an answer in such a way, Uddhava couldn't ask any more question after that. Because there was no doubts coming anymore. Because this itself, he couldn't understand what it is. So it is making us realize our limitations, where we are. And now, after this 28th chapter also, Uddhava similarly put the same question to Krishna again, saying that I'm not able to understand what you are saying, he says there. So, sometimes it is necessary to answer like this, because the patient or the person who is asking the question, remember Krishna has always said this, that these questions are chittavritti in the mind, right? And this is all based on your mind, you are bringing all these doubts from. Or according to the interaction of the mind with the world, you are getting doubts and you are raising all these questions. Krishna's point is, don't waste my time to answer all your questions, that to these stupid questions what you are bringing from this world. Either you accept what I am saying and understand, or try to understand to the extent what you can and derive the benefit from that, rather than putting questions to me and trying to get an answer. That's not the way. That's not the way. So, like in the Ayurveda also, and also nowadays in allopathy also, it is like this, that patients go to the doctor, right? So before he goes to the doctor, he looks in the internet about the disease. He reads so much. Now, this patient has to read about only what he has seen in the internet. The doctor has to read everything, every patient. So doctors are in a very difficult situation. All these patients are coming with all what they have read in the internet and are firing questions at him. So sometimes, if the doctor is not saying exactly the right thing, they will catch him. They'll say, what you are saying is not correct. I read this in the Google. I Googled it before I came and I read everything. And in the internet it is like that, like this. So they will study everything in the net and they'll come and try to teach the doctor what they have to show to the doctor that I know better than you. So doctor will, in a very nice way, say to you, why did you come to me then if you know better than me? So what the doctor does in that situation is that first he will try to explain things in his own way, and if he finds that the person is not listening, is not able to grasp the thing what he is saying, so he will use some medical terminology and shut his mouth. He has no other choice. He will pick up something from some medical terminology, he will use it to shut his mouth. Because that man has come, because then he will get confused. And then he will go home. He will take the medicine, go to the chemist, get the medicine and go home and take the medicine. So that's the only thing you can do at that time. But if, normally GPs get 10 minutes, isn't it? That's the time for a patient. In these 10 minutes, if he gets into a detailed discussion about the disease, cause of the disease, remedy for the disease, and answer all these questions what he has brought from the net, you will be only seeing one patient a day. So he has his limitations. We don't recognize that. We are going to him to get an answer for everything, for all our problems, and then we say that he doesn't know anything. But he knows the problem. He knows that this is a disease, this is a remedy for that. So we got to accept that, what he is saying. Instead, if you know better, then you should find your own process of solving the problem. So in the similar way, Krishna is saying here also that the problem is, you don't know the problem first itself, yourself. You have read something here and there, and you have heard something here and there, and you are coming to me. The one who knows everything is speaking, and he is saying to you, accept what I am saying, and take this instruction seriously. And so, the doctor uses the same approach. Somehow or the other, if you don't subdue the patient or his ego, he will not agree for the treatment what you are recommending to him. So you have to subdue him. Then this is the way they do that. By some process, they will bring something from their medical records or medical texts to show to him. And when they say that, this man is not ready for it, who has gone for explaining to that. So he has to come down from his position, isn't it? So, and that is exactly what Krishna is following here. That he is telling so many things to the, everything he is saying, it's not possible. If it's not possible, then what can he do? The simple truth is, Krishna is saying, Almanam Almastam Matirna Veda, right? Established in the truth or the reality of the soul is the only truth here. There is nothing else here. There is no need to discuss about the world, to discuss about the body, to discuss about anything else that is external to the self, outside the self. But instead of trying to understand what the self means, what that Atma is, busy with discussion of all other things in this world, how is that going to help? That's Krishna's point. So, if this disease, if it gets too much into the head, then it becomes a problem. So, once it so happened that one person got bitten by a snake. So, there are people who can treat for that, for snake bites, right? So, they took him to this particular doctor. In the modern system, you have the, if you have the patient treated for the antidote, what they have in the hospitals, But where there are a lot of problems with this, you may not get enough time to get him to a hospital, or sometimes that particular medicine may not be available. These things can happen. Before the poison, say poison is, the snake is bitten in the leg. Before the poison gets into the whole system, the treatment has to happen. Otherwise, he's gone. Because some of the snake's poison is so strong that if it gets into the system, no treatment will work. No treatment will work. So, so here, normally it is possible to treat a person if the snake bites in the leg or somewhere in the lower part of the body, because it takes time for the to get into the blood and it gets into circulation, into the heart, to the brain, everywhere. Suppose if it is bitten in the head, the snake, then what do you do? Similarly, there is no, it's not possible to do anything if it has bitten in the head. Generally, snakes bite in the legs. When you're walking by mistake, you step on the snake or something, that's when they bite you, right? But suppose if it has bitten in the head, then there's not a lot of time. Quickly, it spreads around in the body and you die, right? Similarly, this ignorance in us is not in the leg, not in the stomach, not anywhere else, it is in the head. That's where it is bitten, isn't it? So this ignorance or ajnanam that is gone inside, it cannot go any more further from there. We have to bring it down from there, to take it out from there. So that is why in spiritual life, you may have to use a certain methods by which somehow or the other that ignorance must get out from the head. What is so strongly through our education, what we have got there, to get rid of that from that, from there, it has to be done as quickly as possible. another instance, suppose you have not understood anything what Krishna has spoken. Say for example, you have not understood anything what Krishna has spoken. In some cases, people will develop bhakti then. Bhakti will come in their heart. They will think like this, I cannot understand anything what Krishna is saying. All I can do is to surrender to him. That's bhakti. You see? So it has a benefit like that. There are many people who have gone in that direction. They have listened to it so long and they have realized it, that it is beyond our his capacity to bring it into life, to experience that in life. At that stage, he says there, I'm not going to discuss with Krishna anymore. I'm not going to ask him anymore anything. I'm simply going to surrender to him. And live, accept anything what comes in life as prarabdham and live through that. And that is what you find in the Brahmasuri. Isn't it? Adabide deva padambujadvayam prasadaleshanu grihitamevahi janami tattvam. There is a verse there. That I'm tatenu gambam susamikshamano bunjanameva atmakritam vibhagam. This is all the statement come from a person like that. Tatte anugambam susamikshamanam bunjanameva atmakritam vibhagam. That means that from now on, I will simply live in this world on Krishna's mercy. Whatever Krishna gives to me, I will accept it. I will make no complaint to Krishna because Krishna knows the truth. I don't know the truth. I cannot experience it like the way Krishna is saying here, explained in the Bhagavatam. For me, the only choice left for me is simply to accept and surrender to Krishna. Let him do whatever he likes with me. That is bhakti. So, these are all the different sides of this interesting topic, what Krishna has discussed here. So, with that bhakti, humility will come. You see the advantage. Ahangaram is the one which is asking questions. But if you say that to him, he will not accept that because his ahangaram won't allow that. Ahangaram will dictate from inside, how does Krishna knows this? How do you know that what Krishna is saying is the right thing? We can keep on questioning it forever. But if you have not understood anything what Krishna has spoken, in a natural way, some humility will come in the heart and that will develop into bhakti. That humility is bhakti. That not to question Krishna anymore, knowing your situation or my situation and accepting that Krishna knows better, I don't know anything. I will do what he tells me to do and I will live in this world in that way. That is bhakti. That is bhakti. So, because generally people have this way of thinking that I can understand everything if it is spoken properly, isn't it? They have this misunderstanding, so to say, in them. And that is a kind of a pride inside. And only when you listen to these words, what Krishna has spoken, you can start understanding the limitation of your own brain. How limited it is. That it has its own limitations. The brain has its own limitations. And we are not able to understand anything, what Krishna is saying there. And it is at that time, Sharanagati, surrender, will come from inside. And that means not saying to Krishna that I am not able to understand anything what you are saying. Let me pay my obeisances to you. That's all I can do. In this way, you will go in that process, in that path. That is a good thing if that happens. At least through that bhakti, that is when Krishna's mercy comes. That this man doesn't understand anything. Todagacharya's famous incident, if you read, you will see there. He was brahmachari, and other three brahmacharis were very intelligent. They could understand everything what Acharya has taught them. Todaka could not understand anything. He was busy with washing the clothes and arranging everything for Acharya. And that's how he lived. But one day, when he got delayed for the class, Upanishads was being taught, Acharya Swamiji asked, where is he? So the other disciple said that, why do we have to wait for him? He is dumb. He won't understand anything. Acharya said, no, we'll wait for him to come. When Acharya thought this, at the same time, the Todaka, who was washing the clothes in Tungabhadra River, he realized the truth there. That's the mercy. That's how Krishna's mercy comes. And then when he comes from there, that's when that famous song, Todakashtakam, he was singing. It is in YouTube, you can listen to that. So, what I'm saying is that not knowing, understanding and realizing is one thing, but able to surrender to Krishna that I'm not able to understand, and feeling humble about that, and humility developing inside, and developing bhakti in that way, that is another method to go back to Krishna. So, because once you start seeing that I have my intelligence, I can understand. And if that thought comes in, that's another block there. That and when you see things which you cannot understand, that is when it will surrender. That ego will surrender at that time. So, you know, the nature of the mind is like that. Or nature of the ahankaram is like that. When ahankaram or the mind, when it is something which it cannot comprehend, or which it cannot bring it under its control, then ahankaram will surrender there. That is the way ahankaram works. Sometimes you can see that the nature of the ego is that when it finds something where it cannot comprehend the truth, and when it is spoken in a very powerful way, and the person sees that I am not able to understand that, at that time his ego will subdue. Ego will subdue and he will surrender. And that is a good thing, because that will turn into humility and bhakti in that way. So, so here, Uddhava is saying here, what you have spoken so far, hearing all these things, I am frightened. Uddhava's words are, I am frightened, he says there. That is that first two verses. You see that? First two verses, what Krishna Uddhava is saying there? Uddhava vacha sudushcharam imam manye yogacharyam anatmana yad anjasa puman siddhil tanme bruhi anjasa achyudam prayasha pundarika aksham yunjando yogino manaha vishidandi asamadhanam Mano nigraha karshidaha. Uddhava's point is that Krishna, that there are many great personalities greater than me, Uddhava is saying, who have practiced this yoga process, what you have spoken in their life, and then even after practicing it, they could not get their mind under control. Vishidandi asamadhanam mano nigraha karshidaha. That asamadhanam and mano nigraha means control of the mind, they couldn't achieve it. Saying this, Uddhava paid his respects to Krishna. Then you have explained everything, I have listened to all that, it's not possible for me because all what you have spoken, people have tried before, big personalities, bigger than me, great yogis, even they could not make it happen. So we'll discuss it next Saturday from now on at 29.
We'll have a short kirtan and then we will
have prasadam.
Jai Prabhu ki Jai Prabhu Pada ki Jai